Nations aren't just shuffling Monopoly money around anymore. They're yanking physical gold out of American vaults by the hundreds of tons because they no longer trust the system that printed the world's reserve currency into oblivion. The Netherlands just relocated 86 tons, citing geopolitical unrest. France sold off its remaining 129 tons stored at the New York Fed and bought equivalent bars closer to home. And Germany completed its own 300-ton repatriation years earlier. These are sovereign states, not Reddit panhandlers, deciding they want to know exactly where their gold sits and who can seize it. At the same time, central banks, more importantly China, keep stacking bullion month after month while quietly trimming treasury holdings and building parallel payment rails off the quantitative easing road to Hades. A coordinated retreat from the old order that has underwritten American power since Bretton Woods. The mainstream won't connect these dots because they are the smokescreen for the introduction of a new system of digital global currency.
1 year ago this summer, I signed landmark legislation known as the Genius Act. I named it after myself. I didn't want to use my name, so I just called it the Genius Act.
Meanwhile, Washington is betting the farm on dollar-backed stablecoins. Trump's January 2025 order and the Genius Act turned private coins into official policy. They're not actually losing the dollar. They're swapping it. Tariffs and trade war friction push countries off the greenback into gold, local currencies, and BRICS, dropping the dollar 12.6% in a year, so foreigners stop buying treasuries. The January 2025 order then kills any public digital dollar, leaving Tether, which was never fully audited, with reserves at Lutnick's, Cantor, Fitzgerald, and Epstein-adjacent origins, as the private replacement legally required to soak up government debt. The old dollar weakens, groceries and 401ks eat it, Tether takes their cut, and the same operators collect on both sides. Meanwhile, the London Metal Exchange Treasury Chief just jumped ship to Ripple to tokenize commodities on the XRP ledger, where products like gold and silver are already live. One side is digitizing the debt to keep the dollar's privilege. The other is stacking physical collateral and building a vault and settlement network that doesn't need Washington's permission.
Okay, today is going to be the day that Alex Jones is going to announce XRP, Global Reserve Currency. It's the fourth one down the line. It's not so shiny. I think it's being manipulated by force, to be quite honest with you. But XRP, make no mistake about it, will be the global reserve currency.
Crypto has had its massive victory. The establishment is now accepting it everywhere. The oldest bank in the U.S., the oldest bank in Europe, MasterCard, Visa, they're all saying they're going to be accepting it. And so my feeling is it was hatched by the globalist the entire time and that they would end up bringing it forward because it has blockchain in it to track the history of money. But certainly a lot of people are going to make money as it becomes probably the new global dominant currency. Looking at this, we said XRP looks like it's been chosen as the new global currency that all the different cryptos and things can go through, but also the new central bank digital currencies. As I saw the big banks, JP Morgan, you know, all of them adopting it, the central banks in Europe adopting it.
When the biggest holders start treating physical metal as the only asset they can truly control, the extraordinary privilege America has enjoyed for decades starts looking a lot less permanent. Focus. History shows the public only notices these tectonic shifts after the ground has already moved. John Bowne reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
This is absolute cinema.
Oh, shit! What the hell is that?
Are you not entertained?
From the front lines of the information war, Alex Jones is back. Bigger. Stronger. Louder. Go to alexjoneslive.com right now and share the links.
This is awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to Freedom RX, You have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant. Your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2026. We, of course, have a big weekend of news to talk about. Not all bad this time. We've got the uprising in the UK to talk about, victory in for the right wing in Germany in one of their local elections. We also have some interesting results from the jobs report, showing that men this time are the ones being deliberately excluded from the workforce. But we are going to be spending a lot of time today talking about the UK for a number of reasons. First of all, the utterly outrageous immigration program that has been running in the UK is finally, long overdue, caused the seemingly appropriate level of outrage and pushback from the people of the UK going to the beach there in Southport and actually blocking the migrant buses and exposing that the British government had prepared the way for these guys. I mean, that is a huge story. We're going to show you videos to talk about everything going on there. At the same time, the UK has apparently been the lead of this group of European nations that are now boycotting Israeli material out of the West Bank and their illegal settler colonies. So now Israel is basically threatening full-on war against Britain. Of course, they're now not only encouraging Argentina to go after the Falkland Islands, but other islands around the area in a process that we've described to you over and over again. And I really do. I mean, we're going to be covering a lot of stuff today and a lot of different topics. But a way it's like frustrating. I wish we could force everybody to watch our show. I feel like if we could just force everyone, excuse me, to watch The War Room, then we could just mention this thing once and then move on. But like, there's a big story today. We'll cover it. Benjamin Netanyahu had a warning about October 7th and chose to allow it to happen. Now, this is a new set of circumstances. It's been revealed, a new revelation about just how much the Israeli government knew about the Hamas attack of October 7th before it happened. But it's absolutely not a brand new piece of evidence. We've known since pretty much the day it happened that there was a stand down order and that the attack was allowed to happen and the Hannibal directive was employed. I mean, we've known all of this. We reported on all of this endlessly. And then over the weekend, I tweeted something out about the Nova Festival. And since then, I've seen, you know, probably half a dozen tweets talking about the Nova Festival. I get all these comments of people who have no idea that the Nova Festival that was attacked was a pro-Palestinian, you know, Free Gaza concert. They have no idea it was moved a few days before to coincidentally be directly in the line of the Hamas attackers. They have no idea that the Hannibal Directive was used on those people attending the concert, and they were almost all killed by attack helicopters that Israel sent out. They just have no idea about all of this. So we'll go over all of this again and tell you all of this again. It just feels like you've got to know all this stuff. How do we not know all of this stuff? Because like, what do you think happened on October 7th? Do people really think that this was an unexpected and brutal Hamas attack with rape gangs and 40 beheaded babies in ovens? I mean, are people out there actually still believing this stuff? Because the reality of October 7th, just like the reality of a hell of a lot of other stuff going on in the world, is the complete inversion. The understanding is the complete inversion of reality. There's the headline, Netanyahu received an explicit warning days before October 7th. He did not brief Israel's security chiefs. The whole thing was orchestrated. There's so much stuff like this where it's like, we gotta get the basics down so we can even understand what we're talking about here. Yes, the Israeli government knew Hamas was going to attack. Yes, they allowed it to happen. Yes, they moved the pro-Gaza concert right in the path of the attack on purpose. And then they used the Hannibal directive to actually kill themselves, to actually kill the Israelis that, you know, dared to express a pro-Palestinian mindset while also doing drugs and worshiping idols in the desert. So we'll get into all of that, but I feel like a lot of this is review for us. And it's a little bit frustrating, but we got to get everybody on board. We got to get everybody to really open their eyes and understand what is actually going on around the world these days, because it's really, really not that complicated. It's just that evil, that blatant, that deceptive. But we'll begin with coverage of what happened in the UK, and I want to start with this speech, a section of a much longer speech by Charlie Downs. You can follow him on X at CF Downs underscore. That's D-O-W-N-E-S underscore. He says, our time is coming. The world conquering spirit of European man, long dormant, is beginning to stir. Let's go to clip number 13 now.
The beauty and strength of European civilization are unrivaled in human history. For five centuries, we stood astride the world, spreading faith, knowledge, and order to its furthest reaches. Driven by an insatiable appetite for truth and power in equal measure, the world-conquering spirit of European man imprinted itself across every continent on Earth and dominated every field of human endeavor. In the cathedrals of France, the castles of Germany, the art of Italy, the philosophy of Greece, the music of Austria, the governing traditions of England, the vast dominion of Canada, and the military might of America, the glory of that spirit is made flesh. Yet in the sterile malaise of the 21st century, it is as though the burden of that inheritance has become too much for us to bear. A nation is not an idea, but a living being made of flesh and blood. It is, in its essence, a family composed of the living, the dead, and the yet to be born, descended from common ancestors and heirs to a common inheritance, a history, a religion, a land, a language, and a law. Out of this crucible is born a distinctive national culture, which in a healthy nation acquires ever greater richness and texture as each generation receives it, inhabits it, and passes it on to the next. In other words, a nation is a people, and if you lose the people, the nation ceases to be. If these trends are allowed to reach their ultimate conclusion, it will mean the death of European civilization altogether. As such, the first principle of the right in the 2030s must be to reassert ancestry and inheritance as the foundations of both individual European national identities and our collective civilizational identity. After all, across the nations of European civilization, we face many of the same existential challenges. Demographic replacement, the erosion of inherited culture, the atomization of our societies, and ultimately the same foe, a self-serving ruling class increasingly hostile to the very notion of historic peoplehood itself. Our nations must stand shoulder to shoulder and meet these challenges as a united European front.
It's absolutely incredible stuff, and I believe that he is the second in command to Rupert Lowe, if I'm not mistaken, of the Restore Party. And you have to understand, as we've said many times before, I've got one quibble about what he just said. So I agree completely with everything that he said, except he says that our elite don't like nationalism. Something along those lines, right? That, you know, our elite are, you know, firmly against this idea of like national pride. That's only true in Europe. That's only true in Europe. These very same elite are committed unto death to the nationalism of things like Israel or literally any other country. They have no qualms about, you know, the way China acts or the way even Japan acts, extremely nationalistic. It shouldn't be a problem for Europeans either, but it is. But it is a problem. The Europeans are a problem. See? And as you look through history, I mean, when he talks about standing astride the world for five centuries, do you really understand what that means? That, like, up until the late 1800s, Europe was kind of the only truly civilized place, and other places that were civilized because Europeans went there. People get offended when I say that, but you understand all humanity went through this process. Europe just went through it before everybody else and then helped everybody else skip all of the intervening parts between barbarism and civilization. We helped a lot of people take a shortcut to civilization. Hasn't always worked out that well. But you've got this group of people, the Europeans, who are like building steam engines at the same time people in China are still binding their wives' feet, same time that, you know, Japan hasn't progressed for 400 years. Nowhere in the Middle East, you know, had reached the civilizational heights that they did under, I don't even know, Rome, I guess. Only for that trajectory to not just peter out, but invert. And there's no natural way that this occurs. Europeans were deliberately destroyed from the inside out. And I think my theory about what happened was there was this idea that if you could just take over the European leadership, you could control the Europeans. And so that's what they attempted to do. And obviously you have basically like 100-year cycles, but you've got the French Revolution, and then like 100 years later, you've got the Bolshevik Revolution, and 100 years later, we're about where we are now, where you have the Great Reset. But it seems to me like they replaced the leadership of Europe, thinking that they were the problem, only to realize that the Europeans themselves are hard to control. And so now we've been slated for eradication. Like, I think if we'd gone along nicely with communism or whatever other, you know, system they come up with to subjugate everybody, if Europeans had gone along with that, yeah, we'd be allowed to thrive. But there's something about the European character that doesn't go along with things like that. And if you think I'm just saying this from a point of supremacy, and so you're rejecting it on those grounds, I just want, this is what our enemies believe. This is what the bad guys think. This is the predicate upon which they make their decisions. It's kind of stupid to ignore it. In other words, the reason I think that they're trying to destroy European people, European men especially, is because there's something about the European genetic code that resists incorporation into a totalitarian framework. And so we're being eradicated instead. We're too difficult to manage. And when you think about the history and, you know, what that looks like, it really doesn't make any sense without deliberate manipulation from the inside out. And you mentioned there, Charles Downs, the fact that this is happening all over the world, not just in the UK, not even just in Europe, but everywhere Europeans are. And that's obviously true. And it's really inexplicable if it's not coordinated. There's no reason why every country on the opposite side of the world should all of the sudden and in unison choose to commit collective suicide unless there's an operation being carried out. So we can go to like clip number 11 here. Thomas Sowell speaks outside the High Court where he's challenging the ban on the White Australia Party on constitutional grounds. The landmark case will determine whether the government has the power to outlaw political parties it disagrees with and basically criminalize dissent against the government. And we played a video last week that really went into this in depth, but essentially just there are no metrics. It's totally arbitrary. If the government simply decides that your political movement is quote unquote hateful, which is whatever they decide it is a meaningless, pointless, definitionless term that they can just apply to anybody who opposes them. And it doesn't have to be the whole party. Doesn't have to be the stance of the party. It can be a member of the party. If they're engaged in something that somebody somewhere deems hateful, then the entire party can be made illegal. It's completely outrageous and ridiculous, but it's happening on the same grounds that Germany tried to oust the AfD. They basically declared that a terrorist organization. Now, the AfD is somewhat overcome that with the latest election victory over the weekend. But clearly, all of these things are happening at exactly the same time in a coordinated fashion because they're coordinated. Let's go now to clip number 11. This is Thomas Sowell, leader of the White Australia Party, talking about how the government is trying to end the ability of Australians to represent themselves. Long story short, let's watch.
We are here today to appear a person before the High Court. We are challenging the Commonwealth and the current government on the laws that they have passed that effectively ban political parties in this country if the current government and the current spy agency disagree with them. Who is the government to tell us who we can vote for? And more so, how can the Australian people trust the current government, or even worse, how can they trust a spy agency to decide who can and who can't form government? Isn't the whole point of democracy that the Australian public decide who forms government, not the government itself? Australians have a lot of grievance with the current system, and it is clear and obvious that white people are being ethnically replaced, not just in Australia, but around the world. We believe that the white people in Australia should have the right to vote for a political party that does not wish for the ethnic replacement of white people. And that is why that political party was formed. The government is hell-bent on destroying our nation, and we wish to oppose them, truly. Not only that, we wish to represent Australians that have genuine grievance, not just with this government, but with the Uni Party and the former governments, for all the harm, all the hurt, and all the pain they have caused us. And this goes beyond just restricting our political liberties and our freedoms. This is also about the debt slavery that they have imposed on us, the excessive taxation, and the destruction of our culture and way of life. This grievance is surmounting, and it cannot be put down by simply banning opposition. Australians should choose at the ballot box who they wish to represent them, and that is why we are here today in person, because unlike Albanese, Tony Burke, or Burgess, who will not be here in person, we are not ashamed of our views, and we are not ashamed to stand up for Australia, and we will continue to fight for a future for our children. Thank you.
So, again, that guy's spent time in jail. Members of his party have spent time in jail for free speech violations, just like the latest report said that 60,000 people have been arrested over the course of just a couple years in Britain over speech violations. Ban on neo-Nazi White Australia Party is authoritarian and breaches constitution, High Court hears. Lawyers also argue Commonwealth does not have the power to ban a political party, as the High Court ruled in 1951 over an attempt to ban the Communist Party. Even back in 1951, at the heights of the Cold War and the Red Scare that was, you know, worldwide, not just here in America, even they understood that banning a party doesn't actually get rid of that party. Although maybe they should have. Maybe 1950, maybe that would have been a good time to just outright ban the Communist Party. But back then, they understood the free speech was more important. Not anymore. That's been replaced. So, like, it seems like what's happening now is sort of a final desperate attempt by Europeans the world over to force their system to merely stop destroying them. And this may be a valiant effort. I don't think it's going to work. I think the fellas in Southport showed us the way forward. And I think we're going to have to accept this. We're going to have to come to terms with the fact that our government systems just don't even pretend to represent us anymore. I know probably people listening to my voice have understood this for years. This has got to get down to the normies. This has got to trickle down to the average person so they can really understand that, like, what's happening here is not something you can shrug your shoulders at, not something you can roll your eyes at, not something you can beg them to stop. They're not going to stop until you stop them. And it's not a coincidence that this is happening in Ceuta against Spain, that's happening in the UK. I mean, Europe is It's not lost by any means, but it's certainly heading in that direction. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Australia. It's happening everywhere. White people are. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It's a genocide. It's just a slow motion one. So God bless the guys who actually stepped out and did something to prevent this. The story's at alexjoneslive.com. Hundreds of protesters block migrant boat landing in the UK. Hundreds of protesters arrived in the UK city of Portsmouth on Sunday after a boat landed carrying over 100 migrants. Footage posted to social media shows hundreds of protesters, many dressed head to toe in black, as lifeboat crews attempted to disembark the migrants on shore. The protesters were confronted by police and even provided with supplies brought by a woman in a canoe. There's an old woman kayaked around the police lines. But is it a coincidence, do you think, that the exact same thing happened in Ceuta in Spain, where nothing was done to prevent the migrants from getting in, but as soon as the locals go to confront the migrants, the police are dispatched in force to pepper spray or blast them with a water cannon? I don't know if you can have a more clear-cut example of the anarcho-tyranny of the modern European government than that they will bring in the invaders, supply them with everything they could possibly need to thrive in your country. But if you try to stop them, they send the police out to blast you with pepper spray. I mean, it really couldn't be more obvious. And it's been this obvious for a while. We've been reporting for years on videos of, because Ireland was always sort of ahead of the curve on this. And there would be little old ladies, little old Irish ladies linking arms trying to block a migrant bus. And the Garda, the Irish police, would come in and basically stomp through them in order to usher in the migrants. So the law enforcement and the military of your government is being used to crush your people so they can bring in a bunch of invaders that the local people, the citizens of the country that the military is supposed to represent, don't want and are actively, you know, fighting to prevent. You can't ask these people. You can't beg these people. You can't request politely that these people stop killing you. They're out to kill you. They're trying to kill you. So you just have to recognize that and fight back against it. It appears as though this was organized by a guy named Danny Tomo, saying this standoff might last for days. There's a ton of video out of Portsmouth this week, and we'll go to one here and then do the rest on the other side of the break. This one's from Basil the Great, clip 27. Clothing and tents for migrants in Portsmouth were discovered waiting for them. Tents, clothes, pajama supplies, food and water, as well as cleaning products and footwear. This wasn't unplanned. This is the UK government funding their own invasion. Let's watch.
Pajamas. Oh, they're pajamas.
Pajamas.
That's nice. And then food. Yeah, for the wall down there.
This is all the stuff that they were wearing, I assume, in the biochemical bags. So, guys, not only have they landed here, they were obviously expected. They've set all these tents up ready for them.
Interestingly, there are some pink ones.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And that's just the beginning. I mean, you've seen some of the buffets these guys get. You know, they go to a hotel. Everything they want is paid for. They get phones. I mean, the crossing, it's not unexpected. It's planned. I mean, they're in contact with the people in France sending the boats over, and they're there to collect the boats. If you try to stop it, it's you they will attack. It's you they will throw into jail. We'll get back to this on the other side, but this is the global civil war we've been talking about for years.
You make a huge announcement that has been 3 years being prepared, and that is a giant, fantastic, full online pharmacy with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. I mean, we've got the heads of the different national associations on the board of this. It's not my company. It's the folks we've been working with that are going to build the whole new network and all the new systems. So when you get a great deal on your online pharmacy, they got everything under the sun with the very best service and the very best quality, no matter where you are. Then the funds go into building a new army in the info war that will dwarf our past activity. A true 360 win. Announcing freedomrxhealth.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. The prices are super low. It's all the highest quality, and it's everything And obviously with all the stuff we've been embroiled in the last few years, fighting the deep state info wars, it didn't launch because they would just try to blow it up on the ground. But now it's ready. Everything is at FreedomRx, one word, FreedomRxHealth.com. But we're focusing today on several of the big areas that I want to recommend to you. And it's so easy, and it's so quick, and it's literally, like, on average, 30% of what you get at a local doctor's office. And the service is so much better. Something Trump did good, legalizing telemedicine in his first administration. The very best testosterone therapy and all the other hormonal therapy, energy, muscle, libido, mood, all the good peptides, the BPC-157, NAD, all of them, every single one of them. And what I've seen with professional football players I know and friends and doctors and scientists and all the stuff that's going on, it is incredible. They've got every single one with the lowest prices. Sexual health, PT-141, woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, cognitive support. They got everything. And everything is cash, no insurance, medication shipped directly to the patient, door in discreet packages. All protocols are physician prescribed through a licensed telehealth physician network. It's all there. There's only one rule up front. Patients cannot call in to sign up. It has to all be done through the portal, so it follows all the laws. Very easy to do. All new patients must go through the portal at freedomrxhealth.com. This protects the patient, the physician, and the platform legally. Once onboarded, patients can reach support by phone or by mail, but sign up is entirely online so that all the laws are followed. It's so simple. Do it in a few minutes. HIPAA compliant. Your health information is 100% protected. Patient goes to freedomrxhealth.com. Patient selects the protocol and completes the intake. Patient does the labs at a local, either recommended or blood testing facility of your choice. For physician review and consultation, prescription written, medication ships to the patient's door. 6 easy steps. When you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Your health, your business, nobody else's. FreedomRx, preserving health, upholding values. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago, wanted to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait until we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. Go now to FreedomRxHealth.com. Preserving health, upholding values, your health, your business, nobody else's, the very best quality, the total selection of everything, the best telemedicine, so easy, the ball's in your court. Go now to FreedomRxHealth.com.
At AlexJonesLive.com, hundreds of protesters block migrant boat landing in the UK. Hundreds of protesters arrived in the UK city of Portsmouth on Sunday after a boat landed carrying over 100 migrants. And they showed up in black block, meaning covering their faces head to toe in black, wearing ski masks to hide their identity, which is what you got to do now. Again, I see people on X, people in the UK saying, this is not who we are. Well, it better be. This better become who you are, because if this isn't who you are, you're not going to be anything. If you want to be something, it's going to have to be a population prepared for war, because you're in one. You just haven't started fighting back yet. This weekend was maybe the first sample of what fighting back might look like. But it's probably going to have to get a lot crazier before it gets any better. The good news is they're at least taking this more seriously. As we saw a year ago and 2 years ago, after any number of brutal, horrific massacres, stabbings or rapes or beheadings, you know, carried out by the the pets of the elite. They're little migrant soldiers. And you had a bunch of UK people rightfully pissed off going and trying desperately to make their feelings known to their own government so that the people in a position to do something might actually do something. And instead, basically everybody who attended was thrown into jail. And we even reported on a young man thrown into jail for multiple years for merely throwing a traffic cone in the direction of police officers. Now, he didn't get within 20 feet of actually hitting a police officer, but the mere act of throwing a cone in their general direction was enough to put him in prison for a while, which is why at the time I was advocating that the protest should continue, but you should wear a mask. They should all be wearing masks at the very least. Leave your phone at home, wear a mask, plan these operations in person where you can't be observed and surveilled. Yeah, Connor Bishop threw a traffic cone in the general direction of police. The disturbance in Southampton. That was actually somewhat recent. It was even worse 2 years ago when they're arresting so many people for protesting the brutal migrant massacre that occurred that they ended up having to set up like 24-hour, you know, speed courts to where they could imprison enough people quick enough not to overwhelm the system. Meanwhile, they were letting out literal murderers out of prison to make room for the speech crime prisoners. I mean, the whole thing should be obvious at this point. You're not talking your way out of this. You're not voting your way out of this. That's just, they have made it abundantly clear that's not happening. What you don't do is then just sporadically and randomly launch unthought out attacks against the local police officers there. You need to do it strategically. You need to engage in this thoughtfully and with a long-term view towards what you're actually trying to achieve, not just expressing the anger you rightfully feel. If you get what I'm saying. So it appears as though, you know, part of this might have been just to test the operational security of this stuff. In other words, do something that's not illegal, but do it in black block just to see how good they are at finding out who you are, how many resources they're willing to pour into identifying you. It's not that big of a risk just to get identified for wearing a ski mask while in a group of people not doing anything wrong. Councillor Madgwick told GB News, people are worried, people are concerned, people are not happy, and rightfully so. It's a concern that has come to Portsmouth, and it's now coming to different areas across the UK. Successive governments have let people down in this area and across the country. At the end of the day, we've spent $1.2 billion of taxpayer money sending it to France to stop this precise thing, and we've not managed to stop it. He said news of the protest spread very, very quickly through social media, and the whole thing seems to have snowballed with a few thousand people showing up at first, followed by many thousand more. Which again, this can't just be a flash in the pan sort of thing, or they will systematically hunt you down and eradicate you piecemeal. You have to actually have demands and not leave until they're met. And hopefully that's where this goes. We go now to clip number 28. This is a Reverend Wickland, Chris Wickland on X, at Rev Wickland. Buses of migrants arriving at the Portsmouth coastline. And he's standing there filming the riot police and the buses that are there to transport the invaders to their comfortable new homes. Let's watch.
Hello, Vex Vicker here, out here in Portsmouth, right on the front line where migrants have invaded our coastline. We've got riot police, buses over here. We've got a processing plant where they've been processed. So I've done lots of footage, which will probably go up on my YouTube channel in the early hours of this morning. But it's pretty serious around here. Very, very serious.
It's getting there. It's getting serious. We can go to clip number 20 here, just give you an idea of just the real scale of this. And I believe the guy on the right is the one that organized it, Danny Tomo. But let's go to clip 20 here. This was posted by Nick Sortor. The UK have sent out riot police to push back illegals who invaded Britain by the hundreds tonight. Just kidding. Police arrived to arrest British men for shutting illegals out. British police are betraying their own people. Let's watch.
Sorry, we thought he was partner. So, we have a standoff at the minute. The good thing is, migrants are...
Do we believe, lads, do we think the migrants are all in them buses?
and we'll try and show you where they are. We love you, Joy.
So you get some idea of how massive this is. We can also go to clip 36 here, where you can see the guys marching in their black block outfits. This is posted by Danny Tomo. It can be followed on X at Real Danny Tomo. Well done, lads and lasses. You stuck to the plan and maintained complete discipline. I'm so proud of you all. You all understood how important this was, and this was only the beginning. They want to use the law on us. We will use the law against them. And there they are chanting Christ is King as they walk down the street. The UK. Oh, look at that. Look at the response they're getting. Oh, little girl cheering for them. Isn't that amazing? You have hundreds, if not thousands, of young British men, angry, furious, looking to fight back against the system, and yet all the people of the UK seem to actually love them. Who, why are the far-right mass men protesting at British ports? Let's just look at some more of what's happening here. We go to clip number 30. This was the way the protesters were treated by the police. Police are now pepper spraying and arresting locals in Portsmouth for trying to stop the illegal invasion of their shores. Let's watch.
I'm getting arrested, guys. They're arresting this old man down on the ground. Look at this, guys. Look at this, guys. Old man. Old man is getting arrested here, guys. This is where it begins, guys.
So, of course, just like in Ceuta, the police have no qualms about interfering and getting in the face of or abusing their own citizens, but they would never do it to the migrants. I'll prove that to you in just a second. Let's go to clip 32 here. Shields used against England's defenders to enable England's invaders. The tragic criminal metaphorical image of a betrayed Britain. And I just want you to go. We'll do a little compare and contrast. First, let's look at the police holding the riot shields. You tell me what you can read in their body language, what you can read in their eyes, what you can read in the way that they carry themselves. Are these guys and girls feeling confident? Do they feel like they are firmly on the right side of this conflict? You tell me. Clip 32 here.
Just so you all know, before you walk forward again, I was in Calais with these people this morning, and they literally said on the boat they're coming here to attack us.
Yes, it's the answer!
So just remember that when the day comes. At 4 a.m. this morning, when I was on the beaches of Calais, these people on a boat said they were coming to attack us. And look who you're siding with. This will be remembered.
From Vox Populi Media. So again, riot police, giant shields. Now, if you can compare that to clip number 24, this is one of the young men who showed up to defend his country from the invasion. Let's watch clip number 24 here. I'll tell you, that guy didn't look scared. I could read a lot of emotions in those eyes. Fear was not one of them. Could you pull up the still image? I just want to look at this dude. To tell you the truth, I kind of get it. I get why people would be scared of these people. Why there's so much effort put in to keeping down the Anglo, keeping down the Brits. I would be terrified if somebody was looking at me like that through my car windshield. What's the, how's the poem go? Their eyes are level and straight. When the Saxon began to hate. I would probably be scared too. The thing is, you could just leave these guys alone. You could just not try to destroy them and you won't be on the receiving end of their righteous wrath at the end of it. How about you just leave these young men alone? Well, you couldn't, you didn't. And thank God they're finally seemingly standing up for themselves. Dover brought to a complete standstill as hundreds of Brits, sick of the invasion of our country, blocked the port. September 5th. This is what it's going to take. This is honestly what it's going to take. And it's going to be harder than people think, I think. I think it is going to get to, well, I don't want to say where I think it's going to get to. I think it's going to get crazy. I think it's going to get really crazy. Because again, these people are actually trying to protect their own homeland. They're actually comporting themselves with the law. Certainly any reasonable interpretation of the law, maybe not the law as it stands now in the UK, which has, I remind you, arrested 60,000 people for speech crimes. That's 34 a day on average. 34 people every day on average get arrested in the UK for nonviolent speech crimes simply opposing their government. So these young men, obviously not exercising their full power yet. Again, I think it'll get to that point. I think just the seriousness of this needs to really soak into the people involved. Like at a certain point, they're going to understand, like going out there and standing against this, you're betting your life on this resistance succeeding. Let's go to clip 37 here. The UK police and Coast Guard were caught on camera splashing the Patriots with freezing cold water, try to get them to give up and go home. So watch clip 37 now. That's from AN's audio down. We didn't hear the screaming. But yeah, there's the police splashing freezing water on the protesters to get them to leave. Yeah, pepper spray, shields, arresting the people, splashing with the water. They did these police lines to try to stop anybody from bringing them supplies, which led to one of the most wholesome moments of the entire protest. Clip 21, a local Portsmouth grandmother canoed out to protesters in the water who are preventing illegal migrants from being unloaded on the shores to give them supplies. Yeah, let's watch here.
She's lost. Show me, show me. Quick, give it to me. Give it to me. Yes, we're in.
Don't come nowhere near us.
Give it. They can't take us. They can't. Right. If you go. Go. Let me jump in the water with you. Life jackets.
Wait.
So again, the police lines keeping people out. This woman got in her kayak and decided to deliver some food to the lads. Meanwhile, this is the way the migrants are being treated. Clip 25 here, posted by Concerned Citizen on X. In the UK, people are waking up to clips from Portsmouth, which show pre-planned tents, welcome packs, including these pajamas, free phones, free clothes for migrants. Let's watch clip 25 here.
The time is 1:33, the 1st of August.
Just funneling them in by the busload to the nicest hotels in Britain. Paid for by British taxpayer dollars, funneled to the international consortiums that own the processing facilities, that own the hotels themselves. They, of course, can provide a nice little kickback to the government. It's just a giant population replacement scheme. It literally cannot be anything else. None of these people should even qualify for asylum. What are they running from? Who are they running from? How did that even enter into the discussion? Any adult man is not an asylum seeker. As far as I'm concerned, there's no adult man that is an asylum seeker. You're just a soldier. And again, it's almost exhausting saying the same thing over and over for like 20 years, but people are seemingly finally in some way waking up to this. Mike Kobe on X at @the_Selden_plan. Is that his name? That's crazy. He's like one of my favorite new Twitter followers, actually looked at his name as the Selden plan on X. I think he gets it more than I even thought. Mike Kobe Wildhorse says, if the West is to be saved, this is how it will happen. Decentralized basic core objectives, independent autonomous cell structure, I'll tell you a little secret. The governments of the West are terrified of what a white insurgency looks like. Let's watch.
The things that are killing our country are mass migration, feminism, and our Jewish oligarchy.
Telling you, if it makes the leaders of our country scared, that's what we should be doing. That's sort of the entire calculus here. And we'll go finally to clip 31 here. This is the founder of the group, Daniel Thomas, or I guess he goes by Danny Tomo. But he interrupts Zia Youssef in Portsmouth to defend the Dover protest and criticize Nigel Farage. Clip 31 here.
Dover yesterday. The reason I've come down here today and the public is talking is watching you and watching all the cameras. You have to understand, Youssef, that what we're trying to do and what the reason the Patriot Platform has been created is not because of violence. We're not looking to intimidate anyone. But let me start by firstly explaining to you why the men are wearing masks. As you know, and as Nigel knows, the left in this country target us massively. We have working class men who are bricklayers, who are roofers, who are carpenters, who build the houses that you live in. They build the roads that you drive on. They do all of that stuff. The reason they're covering their faces is because we know they're going to be targeted. Okay? What happened in Dover on Saturday, okay, there was no violence. There was no arrests. The women and children were allowed through. The police were very straight and very clear to the police. We had lawyers on the phones. All the lawyers were on the phones. And we made sure they spoke to the senior police officers. What Nigel Farage has done is not good. When you call people disgusting, yeah, you have to understand the reasons of why this is happening. Youssef, you have 3 years until you are able to put yourself in a position to change any of this, okay? This has gone on for too long. The men of this country, and they're standing up for their women and children. What happened here last night, it was controlled, okay? The men of this country were here to send a message that something more needs to happen than words.
You smashed up some police vehicles.
No, that was nothing to do with us. That was nothing to do with us. That was probably done by the lefties to try and make us look bad.
Do you accept that having masks is intimidating?
Youssef, please. Can I speak to Youssef?
Sorry. No,
Youssef, listen to me, please, okay? I don't want any violence. And I have done everything I can in my power to maintain a level of calmness. I did that last night. If you speak to any police officer here last night, you can see all the videos around the country that went around. We told the police very clearly there'll be no violence.
Let me finish.
There'll be no violence. No police officers will be attacked. No police officers will be touched. No vehicles will be touched. And that was the basis of you, as your party, say you represent the people. The working class do not vote. We are building a voting block. What we're doing right now is creating an infrastructure of men, not for violence, not to commit crimes, but to create a voting block. So in 18 months' time, we convert into a voting block. And that voting block will go to the most suitable candidate and to the most suitable party that is able to bring this country back into order. Okay? So that I want you to understand that. And I want you to take a message back to Nigel. That those men that you saw yesterday and on Saturday, they're not football hooligans. They're not. They're working class men.
So, of course, he's now being demonized. Everybody involved is being demonized. The headlines, far right thugs threaten police. I mean, all of this nonsense. Meanwhile, if you remember, it's a video from the Southport riots back in, I believe, 2024 this was. During the Southport riot, authorities were literally caught on camera telling a group of Muslims to go put their weapons back into their mosques. And this was caught on camera multiple times. I mean, this was clearly the, you know, instructions given to the police. If you find groups of Muslim men wandering around with weapons, merely instruct them to go return the weapons to the mosques. Let's go to clip 38 here. This was posted today by Basil the Great.
If there's any weapons or anything like that, what I would do is just call them in the mosque.
Kind of hard to hear. We can play it again here. What he says, if there are any weapons, what we're going to do is storm in the mosque. So watch it again.
If there's any weapons or anything like that, what I would do is just storm them in the mosque.
just store them in a mosque. And again, that wasn't the only video. There were multiple videos of that exact thing, because the British establishment protects the Muslims who are actually the violent rioters on camera walking around, you know, beating random white people with baseball bats. Nothing ever done to them, obviously. Meanwhile, the man who organized the peaceful protest that even the mainstream media has to recognize was peaceful as they attempted to stop the invasion of these boats in Dover and the other place. Daily Mail has now doxxed his entire family. The Daily Mail wrote an article about this where they mentioned Daniel's mother. They say exactly where she lives, saying she appeared to distance herself from her son's recent activities. The mother of four said, he doesn't live here. This is my house. I don't want anyone coming around here. I have nothing to do with it. Asked if she supported his actions. She said, I'm just a lady living by myself with my German shepherd dog, and I don't want any aggravation. They literally published where she lives in the Daily Mail, knowing that she'll likely be subjected to some sort of violence from the insane radicals that they're filling up their entire country with. Meanwhile, the little town that we reported on called Piddington that was protesting, having to, you know, being slated to receive 1,250 illegal immigrant men, that number is more than doubled. They are now expecting 3,510 adult men, adult foreign men, dropped on their little town of less than 500 people. So, again, they know what they're doing. They are dropping 10 times the number of illegal migrants into the town than the entire population of the town. One citizen of Piddington, 10 illegal migrants. It's their own government. They're doing this. And when they tried to protest, it was shut down. Nothing that they could do could stop the government from imposing this on their own people, just like they're doing everywhere else across Europe. We'll continue this and we'll get into how this is being even being more complicated by the fact that Israel is now going against the UK for daring to stop buying products from the terrorists that are destroying the West Bank. Yeah, this tiny English village planned a referendum on leaving the UK and joining the US. It was just a sort of protest move. They don't care. Why would they care? What are you going to do? Nothing? Well, great. Then they're just going to keep abusing you. That's the world we live in. That's where we're at this point. They really, like, the one thing they're trying desperately to prevent is enough white dudes realizing what's going on and just standing up like we just saw in the UK. We have to do that across the world, folks.
I wanted to show you this because this is a spectacular product that funds our operation. And if you look at the private label that Bigley got for this new Optimal Human Greens, the adult one is really great and super concentrated and like a couple gummies. Each pack's like the equivalent of a whole bunch of giant salads and bowls of fruits and, you know, everything else. I mean, this thing is just full of individual daily packs of seven gummies each. But this is the one that's really cool that I'm going to have for my nine-year-old. My other kids are already grown up and out of the house. This is the Greens Gummies for Kids. This doesn't just have every vitamin and mineral with your daily allowance or above it. This has a whole bunch of superfoods, probiotics, and then magnesium, just B12, everything else. This is insane. Absolutely wild. Super concentrated gummies. Whole food vegetables, whole food fruits, vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, gut health probiotics, and so much more. Very exciting. Look, when you open it up, it's great for their lunchbox. Look at all this. Look at all this. TheAlexJonesShow.com. Perfect to put in your backpack. Perfect to put, you know, just in your coat so you don't forget to take it. But the best thing to do is just take it in the morning. But regardless, when you're on the go, your 18-wheeler, whatever, the adult and the children's are amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Yummy gummies. Gummies good for you. Cruncho! Hi-ya!
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The spectacle unfolding around Lindsay Clancy after she murdered her three young children has exposed a raw nerve in the culture that no amount of pink t-shirts and I am Lindsay slogans can hide. Hundreds of women turned out at the courthouse and across social media to stand with the woman who ended the lives of Cora, Dawson, and Callan, framing the killings as the tragic result of a failed mental health system rather than an act that demands accountability.
We feel she's very sleep deprived. Her job as a labor and delivery nurse working night shifts and three children is
a lot.
I feel like the system failed her. She was begging for help and no one was there. I don't know if us being here will make her feel any better, but I mean, she's living in hell right now.
Just wanted to support Lindsay and just say it could be, you know, one of my sister-in-laws, it could be one of my best friends, and it could be me. So just here to support.
We are hearing her. We see that she tried everything. And I really do believe that she went into a state of psychosis.
The 8-month-old baby was born. The 3 and 5-year-old were in daycare full-time. Patrick took a 12-week paternity leave, and they hired a nanny to help with the newborn baby. After the 12-week leave was over, Patrick could see that Lindsay needed more help and support, so he decided to move his office into home and started working from home, so they decided they didn't need the nanny anymore because Patrick was going to stay home. And you guys are saying that this woman had no support? That is false.
Her behavior was calm and cooperative?
Yes.
Didn't see anything about her behavior that would indicate to you that she was responding to some type of voices or hallucination that you couldn't see?
Not during my evaluation.
Did you speak to Ms. Clancy again? During that meeting, she denied suicidal intent, correct?
That's correct.
She denied homicidal intent, correct?
Yes.
She denied having auditory or visual hallucinations, correct?
Yes.
She reported her mood as okay, is that correct?
Yes.
And she told you she was looking forward to moving to Spalding, correct?
Yes.
She also denied any confusion or disorientation, is that correct?
Yes.
You described her mood as okay on that day?
Yes.
And you described her as future-oriented on that day?
Yes.
You wrote that the patient reported feeling down about her current situation, her paralysis, and the events leading up to her hospitalization. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you also noted she said her thoughts about what she had done were not constant throughout the day, correct?
Correct.
So she wasn't thinking about killing her children throughout the day, every day, correct?
Correct.
Ordinary observers have pointed out that the children themselves have been all but erased from the conversation, while Clancy is recast as the primary victim, an inversion producing genuine outrage, the systematic destruction of three innocent lives as secondary to one woman's suffering.
She admits it. Everyone admits it. It's all on record. She was on all these psychotropic drugs that can contribute to that. So we want to blame them partially. That's fine, but you know, at the end of the day, she gets the main blame. And there's lots of cases of men killing their kids by strangling them. They all get, I see cases, you know, every few years, there's a lot of them, you know, stacked up over time of where dads have killed 3-4 kids by strangulation the same way. And they get the death penalty. They get death row.
I believe that women are disproportionately, as a sex, disproportionately destroying this country. And I also believe that it is enabled by weak men. So I want to be very clear. I'm not attacking women. I'm attacking both sexes. But we attack men, and rightly so, all the time for excessive aggression, violence, sexual predation, as we should. But we never, ever criticize women for their errors, for their sex-specific flaws, which are largely uncontrolled, uncontained emotion, which explodes and leaks out into horribly destructive areas, such as the sexual mutilation and hormonal castration of young children, most of whom are girls, and most of which is led by women, women therapists, women teachers, women surgeons, women clinical directors, women politicians, women legislators. Even mothers in families are largely driving this, not men, not fathers. Of course, the fathers, they're just standing around letting it happen. So I'm not saying that they're guiltless or blameless, but I'm saying they're not stepping up. And we need strong, ethical men to stand up and to contain the excesses of what I would call toxic femininity.
Many of those questioning the supporters are other women and mothers who reject the idea that shared struggles with anxiety or depression create a license to excuse the unthinkable. The result is a seismic shift that refuses to be ignored. Instead,
ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We've got a couple more videos to show you. Things are developing in the UK. Let's go first to the footage of the French police escorting the migrants as if there was any wonder. I mean, you got to understand. NGOs go into third world nations. They tell the people there, all you have to do is go to Europe, go to the UK, and you'll be living like kings. And by the way, all of their women are whores, and you can just pluck them off the street. And they know all of this. They're as aware of what's going on as we are. They're just the ones doing it, and they're in favor of it. But the NGOs go in, actually get these people to agree to get up and leave. They provide them passage. They give them plane tickets. They give them credit cards to go to the North Shore of Africa, where there are people there to get them on boats, to take the boats as close, as far out as they need to be technically in international waters. Then they set up the distress flare. So then NGOs from Italy or wherever else go down, pick up the migrants, bring them into Europe, shuttle them all the way to France. So they're in Calais or somewhere on the north coast of France. And then you've got the police shuttling them over to the UK, where the UK government is there with the hotel and the welcoming basket with the cell phone and the thousands of dollars. And they let them live there and they work them to get them jobs. And they already have very extensive kinship networks there with all of the mosques being built. Like, there, no part of this is organic. Not a single aspect of it is organic. Not a single aspect of it can be even argued to be for the benefit of anything other than the very barbarians that are storming through your gates and raping your women. Like, it is beyond insane that this has gone on for so long. And it's absolutely coming here next. The UK are not unique in the fact this is being done to them. It may just be, since they speak English, we know about it more. But, I mean, this has been happening almost to an even greater degree in places like Germany and France this entire time. It's really not complicated. This really should not be something that we have to explain over and over and over and over again. I'm frankly shocked we have to explain it at all. It's so obvious. It's so in your face. Even if you don't ever go on social media or never watch the news, can you not see your own neighborhoods transforming right before your eyes? Like, it is so beyond bizarre. I did a segment. I came up with it and first talked about it here on this show, and then I ended up making it sort of the premise of an entire Off Limits News episode, because I just kept thinking, what would it be like to be in London during the Blitz and have nobody around you acknowledging that you're under attack? Because I don't know how much, like, What a crazy metaphor that is. It might sound crazy. Okay, if your city is being subjected to air raids day after day, you'd think that everybody around would notice and care. But would they? I don't know. I really, because that is the level that we're operating at. Almost every day, there is some new horrific attack. I can't even keep up with them anymore. Over the weekend, there was a dude attacked with a machete in broad daylight in one of Dublin's busiest streets. Just add it on, right? Tack it on to the board. So like, it really does feel at a certain point that I'm walking around going, guys, you know, these buildings aren't just blowing up spontaneously, right? You get that? You understand that the planes passing overhead and then the buildings exploded, these things are related to one another. Like, I'm so baffled that we even have to explain this, and that I talk to people. And like, I'm not, you know, I kind of try to treat everything here with a little bit lightheartedly, just because the news is so bad. I don't want to just like be a downer. And I do believe that if we could just wake people up to this, it would not even be that difficult to solve. But like, I don't know if people really understand what is happening and how fast it's happening. I mean, I know they don't. I was talking to a friend over the weekend. He has a daughter about my son's age, 5 or so. He's like, yeah, you know, AI taking all the jobs. Like, I'm really worried. Like, when she grows up, like, are there even going to be jobs? What, she going to just live on like UBI? Like, what are they even going to do if there are no more jobs? Like, no more jobs? What does that even mean? Kind of like, yeah, that sounds really bad. I think it's worse. Actually, I think it might be a lot worse than that. And he's like, why? What do you mean? I'm like, I think by the time our kids are grown, they're going to be like at war, like fighting for their survival. And he kind of laughed. He's like, a war against who? And I'm like, everybody, what are you talking? Like, white people are being genocided. Do you not know that? Like, what, do you not even see, you haven't noticed? You haven't looked around recently? Yeah, I'm not even being rude. I mean, this guy's, he's a smart dude, but it's like, if you're not looking for this. So I spent like a while explaining, just kind of like just the statistical facts, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me here, but that white people as a population of the planet went from like 30% and now we're like 7% over the course of a century. That might be cause for concern. But it's a little abstract, just the sheer numbers. But like, what incentive are any of the people doing this right now going to have to stop? Like, is there going to be a certain point where they're like, okay, we've done it. We're now everyone's equal. They've been punished for colonialism sufficiently. Now we can stop bothering them. Let's all go home. Like, that's never going to happen. We are on the trajectory of South Africa. We are on the trajectory of Rhodesia. Now called Zimbabwe. And when you like talk to normal people about this, it's like, it's so clear that the globalist number one success in all of this is to keep the regular like white dude absolutely blind to what's going on. Absolutely incapable of recognizing what's happening around him, and then constitutionally incapable of actually absorbing it and taking it in to the fullest degree. Cause I'm not joking. 25 years, 30 years. What is this country going to look like? What is any European country going to look like? And once white people are in the majority or in the minority across the country, what's going to stop non-white people just from voting white people out of existence? So the goal for the elite is obviously just keep people in this haze, keep them unaware of what's going on, diminish them, crush them in a million different ways, million different strategies. But at the end of the day, keep them ignorant to what's happening to them until it's too late to fight back. It's not too late to fight back at this point. We just need people to open their eyes to what's going on around them and just realize that they don't deserve it. It's really as simple as that. This should not be difficult. Let's go to this video. This is the French police escorting migrants into the UK in order that they may replace the native people there, rape and terrorize them into submission. That is the reason this is happening. There is nothing good-hearted about this. There's nothing charitable about this. These people are not asylum seekers. They're just not. These are just soldiers. It's just an invasion. It's like, and I swear to God, I swear, it's like I'm sitting here being like, the Germans are dropping bombs on London. They're doing it to hurt us. And it's people like, I don't, you know, I heard about that. I heard it was a confused guy. I heard the pilot was confused. I heard that that was an accident. He accidentally discharged his fuel tank by accident. I heard that wasn't really a bomb. I mean, you're saying that a government's bombing it on purpose? It's like, have you noticed all of the empty shells where there used to be buildings? Have you noticed that every time a squadron of planes flies over London, buildings start exploding? Have you noticed that yet? For the love of God, do I really have to explain to you what's happening? There's a knife at your neck. You should feel it. You should feel the steel cutting into your skin because you are already dying from this. What is going on and why does nobody get it? And is it sports? And how do we infiltrate sports? Because I swear it's sports. Go around the airport. Look at people's phones. 99% of white American men are looking at sports every single time. I look over their shoulder at their phone. I do it now because I'm like, this is uncanny. Is there something going on? Literally, last time I was in the airport, I see a guy's like looking really concerned. I sort of peek over at his phone and he's looking at some like hockey stats from 3 years ago. And I'm just like, really? This is what you're looking at. This is what you have a brief little flicker of life on this planet. And you're spending it studying statistics about grown men who hit a ball around. I don't even dislike sports. It's just like, this is the problem. All of this energy, all of this effort, all of this care, you're pouring it into something that could not ever matter less. It could not matter less. It is literally nothing. Your country is being invaded. Your daughter is being pimped out. Your progeny is being sold off to the highest bidder. And you do not care. And it is so baffling to me. So we'll go to this video here. But just understand, what's happening here in metaphorical sense is what's happening across the entire world. The authorities put into place to protect you are instead leading the rapist to your door and unlocking it for them. Let's watch. Do you hear this? Here you see the escort of the adult men by police. Go ahead, get in the dinghy. It's all paid for by taxpayer dollars. They're taking money from you at gunpoint to replace you in your own home. Could not be more clear. Somebody underneath this pointed out the punishment for illegal border crossings. If you're in Singapore, you cross their border illegally, you get 6 months in jail. In China, you get a year in jail for crossing their border illegally. In Russia, you get 2 years in a hard labor camp. In Poland, you get 3 years in jail. India will send you to jail for 5 years for crossing their border. North Korea will send you to a labor camp for 5 years. In Pakistan, you're getting 10 years in jail for entering their country without permission. Meanwhile, the UK, Ireland, Italy, Germany, and France, the punishment for crossing their border illegally is free housing, healthcare, education, food, public transport, mobile phones, and pocket money. Not just that, you get to commit crimes against the locals and not even be punished for it. We've got videos of that from today as well. But one more video here, because things do seem to be heating up. This is the UK police clashing with masked anti-immigrant activists in Portsmouth or Dover, where these protests are taking place. And you can see again the police, when it's Muslims, it's please go return your weapons to the mosques. When it's white English people, it's brutality unleashed.
There we go.
So they are storming through the police lines.
They are through.
and direct.
Anti-migrant boat protesters block roads in Portsmouth. Isn't that more exciting than fantasy football? I don't know. Personally, I think the actual low-level civil war that's breaking out that will decide the future of humanity and whether or not the European people get to continue to exist in the next future, I don't, to me, that's a little bit more exciting than football, but what do I know? Again, I don't want to condemn the normies out there, but just as I look at it, it's like this is the missing key ingredient. People just don't know. They literally just don't know this is happening. And sort of the most difficult part of it is it's the type of thing that if it was happening, you'd think more people would know about it. In other words, if you're a normie out there and you have no idea this is happening, and then some dude like me is talking to you and is like, well, you know, they're trying to genocide white people. It's like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? And it just sounds crazy. Now, I've got the stats, and obviously it's just undeniably true if you actually look into it. But if you don't look into it, you're never confronted with it. You're never shown this stuff. So it's like that's the goal of the mainstream media. Their entire point is do not let people realize what's happening to them. Confuse everything. Either don't report on it. If you do report on it as if it's a good thing. Never tie anything together, right? This church burning over here, total accident, coincidence. Also, this other church burning over here, also a total coincidence. The fact that there's been a church that's burned down, a historical church that existed for centuries, and they're all burning down now all of a sudden in the matter of a couple days, that's just a coincidence. If they can keep everything seemingly separate and disassociated, if they can keep everybody distracted or overwhelmed with the amount of confusion and discernment it even takes to figure out what is true or not, then they'll just keep people in a state of ignorance. They'll never stand up to stop what's happening because they don't even know what's happening in the first place until it's too late. And then even if they realize, too bad. There's nothing they can actually do. So that's got to be our mission. And what do we need to do? Because it's so obvious. It's so in your face. Like, what do we have to say? How do we have to phrase this to get this through to people that this is what's happening? And that's not a coincidence. And then it's not unsolvable. You got things like this from Daily Mail. 10,000 migrants are living in makeshift tents on a beach covered in human waste. And with them comes a crime wave of 23 sex attacks, including 9 on children. For anyone still advocating open borders, welcome to the dystopian Spanish enclave of Ceuta. 23 sex attacks in the month that these migrants invaded Ceuta. 9 children. 9 children have probably had their lives destroyed somehow. They survive, but how do you think it feels for kids to be subjected to some random foreigner raping? Like, it's like, why are we allowing any of this to happen? One of these events should be enough to send the entire group back home. And if they won't go, you kill them. What are we doing here? Men, mostly from Morocco, have returned. Most of them have returned to their homeland, but about 10% remain, waiting to reach what they see as their right, a ticket to mainland Europe. Kill them. They should be killed. Hi, my name is Harrison Smith, and I'm here to tell you when a group of foreign strangers invade your country to pillage it and to rape your women, you're allowed to kill them. You're allowed. That's one of the things that we do as human beings. We protect our people from invasions from hostile foreign forces. Kind of the entire point of a government. It's like the reason government as a concept was established, to protect us from them, right? So we're not only not killing them, we're letting them get away with it. We're giving them shelter. We're giving them food. We're giving them a three-strike rule where, okay, you beat two women, but you beat a third, and we're really going to have a, you know, have to give you a talking to, mister. At a certain point, things just need to happen. Like, I don't really know what else to say about it. I don't know what else we can say to assure you that what's happening is in fact happening. The media is, of course, hyperactive in preventing this news from getting out. We'll go to clip number 18 here. Donna Jones, police and crime commissioner for Hampshire, spoke to BBC Breakfast about Portsmouth. The BBC, which this interview aired on, later cut out the last 15 seconds or so of her appearance. Let's go now to clip number 18. Here's Donna Jones. Here's the 15 seconds that they deliberately and explicitly cut out of the rebroadcast, the upload. The BBC censored this 15 seconds. Let's watch.
This is a real wake-up call to the government, yet again, that the British people are fed up with the lack of control of our borders, which is why we really need to be looking as a country about our membership of the European Court of Human Rights, because that's why we can't turn the boats around and send them back to France.
Because they're part of the European Court of Human Rights, so they're legally obligated to take in the hostile foreigners who are destroying them. We can go to clip 41 here. There's some, well, we'll have to save that for the next side, on the other side of this commercial break, so we don't quite have time to get to it, but little kids in the UK are standing up against this, not because they've been brainwashed by the far right, not because Andrew Tate is allowed on their social media platforms, but rather because their own schools are covering up the sexual assaults against the students by the Muslim male students that are abusing them. And the little girls in UK schools are told, maybe it's the way you're dressing. Maybe if you wouldn't dress like a slag, maybe you wouldn't get molested by the strangers that we're forcing you to take classes with. Can we just be human beings? Because human beings wouldn't take this. Human beings would kill their enemies. Human beings would protect the innocent and the vulnerable. Can we be human beings about all of this, please?
Make a massive announcement right now.
I mean, this is just bonker town.
What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. Stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 Blue.
I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. Your own enemy. He go. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globe is going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This you'll get masterpiece.com. The masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key to sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Something else has happened in the UK that I don't know if it's totally unrelated from what we've just been covering, other than that it's clear that Europe really needs to get its act together and wake up to the threat that it's facing really fast, because as we've been talking about for a while on this show, like, I don't think that Trump and his administration is like playfully, you know, jabbing at the UK and Europe, being like, hey, you guys have kind of lost your way. Maybe you need to get back on the free speech train with us over here, or it's not this sort of rah-rah, we're America, you know, we beat you in the Revolutionary War, UK sucks, sort of just like, you know, fun banter. I think Donald Trump and the Israeli cabal that he is the puppet of is genuinely working to fully eradicate Europe, and he's just helping them with that. We've talked about this forever, and we pointed out weeks ago that they'd be going after the Falklands in the exact same way that they went after Ceuta in Spain. In other words, it's that classic piece of scripture, I think it is. It says, bless Israel and you'll be blessed. Curse Israel and Israel will use its diplomatic leverage over the United States to get your opponents to make moves against your overseas territories, to put diplomatic pressure, to get concessions so that you'll no longer oppose their genocide. Is that Genesis or Leviticus? Something like that. In other words, the curse that you come under if you oppose Israel is not something from God. It's them. No, it's just them. It's not a coincidence that everywhere that even symbolically opposes Israel comes under massive, overwhelming attack. And that is always how it's treated. And we'll show you the clips and videos here. But I don't have to talk about European diplomacy to make that example. What about Gaza? What about the Palestinians? What about Lebanon? You know, there's an Israeli mindset that says opposing us in any way warrants your utter and total destruction. Thomas Massie, not an anti-Semite, did oppose giving money to Israel. That is enough to slate Thomas Massie for the buzzsaw, to send him screaming headfirst into the wood chipper, according to not just Israelis, but Jews here like Jonathan Potteritz, who of course made that exact statement that Jewish money would be used to make every politician opposing them feel like they're going headfirst into a buzzsaw. Now the UK government has dared. They have dared to question Israel's open terrorism in the West Bank, and they don't want to buy things from them anymore. So, sorry, UK, you had a good run, but I guess you have to be destroyed now. More so than you're already being destroyed by the way, very similar factions of people doing this. UK government bans goods from Israeli settlements and accuses settlers of, quote, ethnic cleansing. As the Israeli election looms, Netanyahu turns his focus to his divided base. Norwegian government members, oh, I'm sorry, this is, I don't know what the hell this is. It's not the right article. Yeah, picture descriptions. France and Canada have announced they're taking similar action to the UK in an attempt to prevent expanding settlements and growing violence from making it impossible to establish a future Palestinian state. Israel responded angrily and said it would close the British consulate in Jerusalem. Foreign Secretary Ed Miliband said the UK will ban imports of goods from the settlements and bar companies from providing services to the settlements, including financing, construction, infrastructure, real estate, and advertising, saying, quote, I do believe the British people want us supporting the occupation by accepting products from the settlements in our shops and supermarkets. And of course, the Israelis here in America, using American diplomatic leverage, are now trying to bankrupt the UK for, again, daring to oppose the open terrorism that even the Israeli state pretended to until very recently oppose. Right? Is the whole Israeli game was to let their settlers attack the Palestinians if the Palestinians fought back, presented as defense, and go eradicate them with the army. But it was always, you know, that's not us. We don't condone that. It's these crazy settlers that we just can't get a handle on. It was never true, obviously. But there you go. The United Kingdom on Tuesday banned trade with Israeli settlements in occupied West Bank, where it says settler terrorists are carrying out ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in a significant toughening of Britain's stance towards a longtime ally. Well, not that long. Not that long. We'll get to that, too. France and Canada said they joined. 12 countries have issued a joint statement announcing national bans on trade goods from illegal Israeli settlements. This is the thing. It's like, okay, if the settlements are illegal and you don't want to accept goods from the settlements, well, the Israeli government is the one sponsoring the settlements. The Israeli government is providing the homes to the settlers, giving them military cover when they go out and attack Palestinians. They're the ones funding this operation in the first place. So how are you going to condemn the settlers but not the government that is allowing them to do it? All these little half measures. I think all of these countries should not just ban goods from the Israeli settlements. I think they should combine in an alliance to destroy Israel once and for all. I think Israel must be destroyed outright. The settlers are not doing anything different than what the rest of Israel was settled. You know, in the exact same way that the rest of Israel was settled. There's really nothing different whatsoever from what's happening now in the West Bank, except that we have high definition footage of it, but this is nothing new. This has been the case since 1890s, in the first Aliyah there. 12 countries, France, UK, Canada, Denmark, Spain, Finland, Ireland, Iceland, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Sweden, Macron, UK PM Burnham, and Canadian PM Carney agreed the situation is deteriorating with unprecedented settler violence and settlement expansion, specifically calling the E1 project inadmissible. They salute measures already taken by Ireland, Spain, Netherlands, Norway, and Belgium. The statement demands Israel immediately stop settlement expansion, hold violent settlers accountable, and investigate allegations against Israeli forces. They, quote, firmly oppose any action resulting in the annexation of Palestinian lands or forced displacement. Okay, but do you really, though? Do you really? We can go to clip number 12 here. Ed Miliband declaring that the UK would have a trade ban on Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Clip 12, here's Miliband in Parliament.
I do not believe the British people want us supporting the occupation by accepting products from settlements in our shops and supermarkets. So I can announce today that we will introduce an import ban on goods from illegal settlements in the occupied territories. To do so, we will introduce a new comprehensive sanctions regime, working with my right honourable friend, the Business Secretary, with appropriate religious exemptions. And as part of this regime, we will go further. We will take action against specific companies and individuals who provide services, such as construction, infrastructure, financing, or real estate for settlement expansion. So to those who finance or facilitate illegal settlements, let me say this. You will face the full force of UK sanctions.
Sanctions, that's a start. That's very much a start. Here's Miliband again with this announcement saying the UK will stand for what's right. Clip 17 now.
The situation in Palestine is a moral emergency. What the Netanyahu government is doing in Gaza is a stain on the conscience of the world. And there is increasing evidence war crimes appear to have been committed. And we're witnessing unprecedented settler terrorism in the West Bank. The British government has come to the same conclusion as the former Prime Minister of Israel and others, that there is ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in areas of the West Bank, perpetrated by settler terrorists. And too often the Israeli government has turned a blind eye to this. And worse, members of it have made statements and taken actions to support the forced displacement of Palestinians. We will not stand by. We're going to be stronger in standing up for what is right, and bolder in the action we take. Our North Star is our belief in the two-state solution, that both the Israeli and Palestinian people have a right to self-determination, freedom and security. Today we're calling out the occupation of Palestine as unlawful. We're banning the import of goods from illegal settlements. We're taking action on services to target those who finance, facilitate or construct new settlements. And we're banning advertising of settlement properties and land. We're taking action, too, on settler terrorism. The action we're taking today is against the government of Israel, not its people. I know the trauma that Hamas's terrorist atrocity of October the 7th has caused for the people of Israel and Jews across the world. It was a murderous act by a murderous terrorist organization. Israel faces existential threats to its security, most severely from Iran. That's why we're today also announcing the reimposition of major economic sanctions on Iran, as well as bearing down on its network of proxy groups like Hezbollah. I also know that so many members of the Jewish community live in fear in the face of rising anti-Semitism here in the UK. Anti-Semitism is a scourge and an evil, and we will do more to tackle it as a government. And I also say this. Holding British Jews responsible for the actions of the government of Israel is anti-Semitism, pure and simple. I'm proud of my Jewishness and unwavering in my support for the security of the state of Israel. And I see absolutely no contradiction between this and my support for the state of Palestine. Indeed, quite the opposite. The only route to security for both peoples is living side by side in peaceful coexistence in a two-state solution. That's why we're taking action today. My parents came here as Jewish refugees. They saw a country that stood up for values of freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. That's what we're doing today. Standing up for our values. Standing up against oppression and injustice. Standing up for what is right.
Kinda, yeah, kinda are. That's true. I don't know. Should I be happy with, am I supposed to be happy with this? Is nobody else a little bit confused by this? I'm sorry. So Israel is illegally occupying Palestinian land. They're acting like terrorists and engaged in terrorism as they ethnically cleanse the West Bank, which had nothing to do with October 7th. So why are you invoking that? That had to do with, I was out of Gaza, the West Bank. Does not have Hamas, never did. So the Israelis are ethnically cleansing their neighbors. They're terrorists. They're illegally settling this land that they have forever. But also, you know, we're kind of on their side, too. I mean, we're kind of on both of everybody's side. Actually, we think both sides need to calm down a little bit. Really? Because I'm firmly on the not terroristic ethnic cleansing side. Personally, I don't think Israel has a right to that land. I don't think they ever did. And to invoke October 7th is like totally mind-blowing in this context. Do you think the settlements started after October? Settlements have been there since the 60s. They've increased a lot since October 7th because they use claims of so-called anti-Semitism in the West to silence criticism or even awareness of it. I mean, you know, at a certain point, we just got to stop waffling, stop qualifying everything that is said about the murderous psychos that did this to a group of people. I don't know how many more times we can go over this footage or just the reality of what Israel is. I mean, just look at this. And it's just like, yeah, but remember October 7th? Yeah, remember October 7th? Remember there was like a couple hours there where like, you know, Hamas did some stuff. And sure, Israel knew it was going to happen and let it happen on purpose. And sure, most of the deaths were Israel killing their own people. But, you know, apparently we're just going to keep invoking that one day forever. And it justifies literally everything Israel wants to do constantly, everywhere, all over the world, forever. Now, this is not actually all that, you know, long-lasting of a alliance between the UK and Israel. Played this clip before. But I got this clip myself because I was watching this show, and this just blew my mind. This show is called Yes Minister. It's from 1986. Here's how, you know, popular culture portrayed the British-Israel relationship in the late 80s. Let's watch. Clip 16 here.
Yes, well, the Arabs have put down a motion of the United Nations condemning Israel. Naturally, we'll be voting on the Arab side.
Oh, naturally, no.
But I gather that the PM wants us to abstain.
Oh, surely not. Why?
Well, something about the PLO starting at this time, faults on both sides, the usual sentimental nonsense. Sucking up to the Americans, as always.
Well, if you insist on an even-handed approach, the Foreign Office might agree to your abstaining on the matter of Israel, so long as you authorize our man there to make a powerful speech attacking Zionism.
Surely we should use the debate to promote peace, harmony, goodwill.
Well, it'd be most unusual.
So how do you go from the late 80s, it's just assumed, naturally, we'll be supporting the Arabs in this, to 2026, the idea that Britain would go against Israel is, like, unthinkable. And that's a very successful psychological operation. The manufacture that consent that they've been able to generate for this, really unbelievable. I doubt people even noticed. Right? I bet if you were to ask regular UK people, like, have you always been friends with Israel? They'd be like, yeah, of course. Of course, we were there from the beginning. The reality is that Britain was manipulated into going to war in the Middle East in order to create the mandate system to create a homeland for the Jewish people. And as soon as they got what they wanted, they turned on Britain and killed a bunch of their diplomats and citizens. And so by that point, the late 80s, I guess it hadn't worn off. I guess they still remembered the fact that the Israelis are vicious terrorists that will betray you at a moment's notice. Now they're acting like it's some sort of civilizational imperative that absolutely everything be done for the Israelis and you're not even allowed to boycott them. And of course, even back in the 80s, Britain knew that in order to court the Americans, you had to support Israel because we've been occupied for a while. I don't know if I need to tell you this. America has been fully occupied. You know, Congress was occupied Israeli territory as far back as the 60s or 70s. Let's go to clip 34 here. This is the response to this. Israel's foreign minister announces closure of British consulate in East Jerusalem and countermeasures against the UK sanctions. Let's watch.
Half an hour, Israel's foreign minister said it's closing the UK consulate in Jerusalem over that sanctions move. We'll have more on that element here in a moment, but Israel has occupied the West Bank of the River Jordan since the 1967 war. Israeli settlements located there are illegal under international law, and recently there's been a sharp rise in violence by Jewish settlers against Palestinians. Well, foreign ministers from 11 countries, including Canada, France, Ireland, Portugal, Spain joined the UK in a statement saying that Israel's actions in the West Bank undermined the possibility of a two-state solution.
Well, our global affairs correspondent Sebastian Usher is still with me, and it's not just collision course, they have collided.
Yes, I mean, we expected fierce rhetoric from Israeli officials. We heard it obviously there from Gideon Saar. I'm sure we'll hear more as the day goes on, and we heard it before this announcement was made. But also, you know, he did outline several concrete moves. I think the key one being the closure of the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem. Now, that deals with the Palestinians, essentially. So that will have issues for the Palestinians in their ability to get help if they are supported by the British. But that will be seen as quite a strong diplomatic slap in the face, a concrete one to the British. Also, there are a couple of schemes that the UK is involved with Israel, one to do with training the PA forces in the West Bank, and also representatives from the UK on the International Gaza Support Centre. They're going to be removed. And beyond that, there's 12 named, mostly MPs connected to Jeremy Corbyn, the ex-leader of the Labour Party, himself included, who are to be barred from entering Israel. It's very unlikely, I think, that they would be going to Israel, be allowed into Israel in any case. So that is more symbolic. But it's certainly presenting the UK government with not just, as I say, a rhetorical attack, but one that the government may have to think that they'll have to maybe step up as well and do something in kind.
We can go to clip 49 here. This is the president of Israel, Herzog, saying, quote, later today, we expect to see headlines announcing certain British trade sanctions on Israeli settlements on the West Bank. If this happens, and any other nation may join, I believe it will prove a grave miscalculation. Again, we literally were playing videos last week of this exact same type of language. Just if Britain decides to oppose Israel, they will regret it. We have a lot of levers to pull. And it's just like, anybody else sick of these guys? Anybody else sick of these guys? These mobsters just threatening us over and over. Oh dear, Britain won't accept trade goods from your terrorist camps. Guess they all have to die. Guess you have to kill all of them now for daring to not actively participate in your terrorist expulsion of a bunch of innocent people whose families have lived there for 1,000 years. I mean, you want to see, let's go to clip 50 first. This is happening today. Israeli military is bulldozing up and uprooting dozens of olive trees in the Palestinian town of Araba in the occupied West Bank. Let's go to clip 50 here. Palestinian landowners say the Israeli military uprooted their olive trees. Yeah, well, they're allergic, so. Residents said the uprooting started just weeks before the annual harvest fest, olive harvest. So what do the olive trees do to them? When we see the olive trees being uprooted by this bulldozer, it breaks our heart. These olive trees were planted 70 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. My brother planted them. He traveled to make money and plant this field. My brothers and I have worked all of our lives here, and this is the source of our income. The Israeli military said the operation was carried out following what it described as a structured planning process. Saying, this woman says the olive field belongs to 30 or 40 families. They make a living from this. They're waiting to harvest it to earn money. But now they uprooted it and took it all to make more space for their settlers and their roads. So that's the Israeli military doing that. So again, it's like this whole like, well, we're punishing the West Bank terrorists, but we don't blame Israel, and Israel's still great, and they deserve to be there too. It's like, no, they don't. They're all, it's just a big terrorist organization. It's not any more complicated than that. We'll go quickly to Herzog here, clip 49. Let's watch.
Expect to see headlines announcing certain British trade sanctions on Israeli settlements in Judea and Samaria. If this happens, and other nations may join, I believe it will prove to be a grave miscalculation, a decision that will fall on the wrong side of history. In the current context, it would be a gross interference in the democratic elections of a sovereign nation, and it will serve no one. It will directly harm, unfortunately, Palestinians, robbing them of business and employment. And ultimately, It will undermine the interests and national security of freedom-loving nations. Sanctions are not a solution. Dialogue is. I say to all foreign governments, stop. Step away from the dead end of sanctions and boycotts and turn towards constructive dialogue and towards cooperation.
So again, I feel bad I even played that for you. Like, what we really shouldn't listen to these people. Is it really doesn't matter what they say? They're just liars. You can just look at what they actually do. I mean, again, just the chutzpah of these people, the nerve of these people to be presiding over multiple ethnic cleansing operations. I mean, they fully destroyed Gaza and are eradicating everybody there. They're doing it to the West Bank too, because why not? Lebanon also being subject to this, areas of Syria being subject to this. I mean, it's like any one of these is outrageous. And to have these people turn around and say, sanctions aren't the answer, dialogue is. It's like, we just do something about this already? Because the problem is that it's not just Israel. It'd be manageable if it was. It would be extremely manageable if this was just Israel. But here's the thing. Israel has their agents at the highest levels of every government in the world. People like Randy Fine, whose entire purpose as an American congressman is to serve the foreign state of Israel. He's come out and threatened British companies, now saying that because Britain boycotts Israel's terrorist camps, Americans have to boycott Britain. And it's just, does anybody else get tired of these people clearly who are Jewish supremacist Israel firsters using our country to get their way? Can we do something about this, please?
All right, folks, let's go to our first caller. Big Hoss in Fort Worth, Texas. You're on the air, partner. Hit me.
Woohoo, Alex! Never thought I'd be on the horn with you, but I just had to call in about this methylene blue. Hell, this here blue juice done got this old cowboy feeling like a spring colt again. Keep pouring it out, partner.
Now that's what I want to hear. We're doing the best show and giving you the best products, and you can get them all at thealexjonesstore.com.
Woo-wee!
The age of men is over. Your walls will fall, your people will scream, and your freedom will choke on our blades.
I will never kneel. I will never fall. I fight for the free people of this world, for truth, for blood, and for the last light of humanity. Rise with me. The atrazine generators have been destroyed. Bring in the water filters.
Releasing the water filters.
This is a good start, but we're going to need 1,000 more of these bad boys.
Thank you, Alex. Let the oceans be cleansed of this monstrous chemical.
They wanted to download my brain, but I downloaded theirs. It reversed all their demonic globalist plan. Team Humanity!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. I feel like I got to move on just because, I don't know, you just start talking about how evil Israel is, and it really is a bottomless pit. It just doesn't end. It doesn't stop. And again, it's not even about Israel exclusively. Israel is a nexus. It's a, you know, method by which, you know, these people organize their activity. But we've got a video of Francis Albanese, the UN special rapporteur, or whatever it's called, who literally all she did was say that Israel is committing genocide, because they are. And of course, they've destroyed her life. She says she cannot get insurance. She can't have a credit card. They basically cut her out of modern society because she refused to go along with the ethnic cleansing operation that Israel has in mind. Now, Israel itself as a nation couldn't pull that off. Can only pull that off if you have not only people at the highest levels of all of these industries, insurance, credit card, everything else, people willing to use their office kind of illegally in order to benefit Israel in a way that isn't even direct. You know, it's like, I guess they just know that there's no risk to it. You would think that, you know, a credit card company just arbitrarily deciding to destroy the life of a UN employee because they dare to oppose Israel, like, maybe there'd be like a question about that. Maybe they'd go, well, I want to do it, but, you know, it'd cause a lot of strife. But they don't care. They seem not to care at all about how horrible everybody knows they are. Let's go to clip 44 here. This is Francesca Albanese. Let's watch. It's just music? What the heck? All right, must be some sort of mix-up there. But she's made the statement many times. So, you know, I just, at a certain point, I don't know, we gotta just stop, like, talking about this endlessly and forever. Because it really feels like everything is terrible and getting worse and at an accelerated speed. Like it's on purpose. And I mean, the stories I have to, like just going through some of these stories. A leaked Anthropic document just came out in court. Their own words, Project Panama is our effort to destructively scan all the books in the world. We don't want it to be known that we're working on this. That's a quote. Quote, we don't want it to be known we're working on this. They plan to shred every book on the planet in secret, and they almost got away with it. Anthropic stole 7 million books from pirate sites to train Claude because their CEO said paying authors was too much of a slog. Then the lawsuits hit and they needed a legal way to keep going, so they hired the ex-head of Google Books and sent him to publishers to ask for permission. Publishers said no. That's when they found the loophole. Buy millions of real physical books, cut the spines off with a hydraulic blade, scar the loose pages, and throw what's left in recycling. One vendor offered to destroy 2 million books in 6 months. That's 11,000 books a day. The insane part is destroying the books is what made it legal. If you scan a book to keep it, that's a crime. If you scan it and shred it, that's fair use. A judge actually approved this, which means the shredder was the legal strategy. They still paid $1.4 billion for the stolen books. The biggest copyright settlement in the history works out to $3,000 per book. And the scans are locked in Anthropic's private library forever. Nobody outside the company will ever see them. The author's got a shredded book and nothing else. Okay. So that's just happening, all right? Great. Meanwhile, the SEC wants to end pay-to-play prohibition for private equity. It's kind of a weird way to phrase this. They're literally changing the rules to make it legal for private equity to directly bribe the government. So they're doing that at the same time that everything else is going on. We'll get back on the other side, but I'm kind of done talking about this piece by piece.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant. Your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. The number to dial is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. I got to get your input. Not because I don't have things to cover. I'm bored. I'm bored with it. Like, what are we supposed to do every day? We got to report on the same thing every single day for the last 3 years is just another litany of just the most insane, unjustifiable crimes from the Israelis. Just overt, horrifying crimes against humanity on a daily basis. Totally unaddressed, totally unpunished. You'll be thrown in prison for even questioning it. If they can't throw you in prison, then the global Jewish super government will ban you from having credit cards anymore. Or the boss of whatever industry you're in will bend the knee and ban you. I mean, every day we got to go over, every day there's more headlines where it's not only are things not getting better, the Trump administration especially speed running into hell. I mean, do we just talk about this for, we just report on it forever? I got it. I got to know what we do about this. That's why I need to hear from you. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. So the SEC now is trying to end the prohibition of pay to play manipulation by private equity. I mean, it's like, it's so insulting. I know Alex reported on it today. The fact that we're not even apparently paying out what is owed to the families of the dead soldiers that died as a result of the attacks by Iran, saying that's not a war, so we don't have to pay out wartime wages or whatever. It's just like, I mean, they have to be trying, right? They have to be trying to infuriate everybody. The Trump administration is seeking to rescind a rule that was put into place to stop private equity funds from bribing public officials following a raft of pay-to-play scandals. The Security and Exchange Commission claims that that Rule 206-4-5, the Investment Advisors Act, stifles free speech and had too many unintended consequences. This rule prohibits covered associates from providing advisory services to a government client for 2 years after consulting to certain candidates and or elected officials. Federal candidates are generally exempted, although they hold, unless they hold relevant state office. Other sorts of gifts are also prohibited. So again, private equity, there's a rule prohibiting them from lobbying the government directly, from bribing officials. And the SEC is considering rolling that back. Okay, this is what I mean. Like, what is there to say about any of this? Here's the next headline. We can keep it up. California's free ride means illegal migrants get money for college while Golden State natives pay big. So, illegal immigrants whose only participation in America has been to break our laws, they'll get free ride to universities in California, but American kids will be paying full price if they can even get in, which they can't because the entire college system is rigged against them. There's just like, again, at a certain point, like just what is there to even say about? What justification is there for this? You're literally just letting illegal immigrants get free college, but not American citizens. The Trump administration is now refusing payouts to U.S. soldiers who died in the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran, quote, because it isn't a war. It's according to the Telegraph. Libby Kleiner, widow of 33-year-old Major Alex Kleiner, says the U.S. Air Force deemed her ineligible for additional benefits following her husband's death because Congress has not officially declared a war. She says, quote, my husband lost his life because we're in a war. And then I was told that because it's not technically a war, we lose out on something. It all comes down to principle. Trump responded that U.S. strikes on Iran were intermittent and said, a lot of people don't call it a war. I call it a military conflict because it's small potatoes for us. Families of U.S. service members are now accusing the Pentagon of downplaying the extent of injuries sustained and saying they're not being treated by the U.S. military as combat casualties. Do you need my interpretation of this? I mean, what justification is there? Widow of an airman killed in Middle East was told hazard pay and combat-related tax breaks wouldn't apply because we're not at war. Israeli airstrikes leveled a hospital in southern Lebanon yesterday. Did you hear about that? Used to be unthinkable. We should go back and play the news reports from the first hospital that was bombed in Gaza. That was a giant, media storm where they were trying so hard to convince you that they would never bomb a hospital. They've bombed every hospital in Gaza now. They just bombed a hospital in Lebanon. We don't even notice. It doesn't even get reported on anymore. Israeli airstrikes have destroyed Gandor Hospital in Nabate al-Faqwa in southern Lebanon. No staff or patients were inside the hospital when it was struck, the report said, with images and videos shared online showing a vast amount of rubble and no structure left standing. The strikes follow threats from the Israeli army that it would respond to an alleged drone attack by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. Yeah, Hezbollah may or may not have sent a drone over our airspace, so I guess we level a hospital. Great. Our greatest allies. Goldman Sachs sounds the food crisis alarm. Hormuz, Black Sea, and El Nino risks collide into a perfect storm. So, that's coming. And then, of course, the big story today, as if we needed another piece of evidence that everything that has happened when it comes to Israel has been orchestrated by Israel. Netanyahu ignored explicit warning. Hamas was planning, quote, terrifying operation just 10 days before the October 7th attack. This was originally reported by Haaretz, an Israeli newspaper. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was personally and explicitly warned that Hamas leader Sinwar was planning a major attack roughly 10 days before the October 7th massacre, but dismissed the threat and did not alert his security chiefs, according to a shocking new Haaretz report. The revelations come from research for an upcoming book called Hostages, 843 Days of Abandonment, written by journalists from Haaretz. United States Arab president raised the alarm directly with Netanyahu during a 45-minute conversation. Three senior foreign sources familiar with the exchange told the Israeli newspaper and reportedly warned that Sinwar was preparing a major operation. Netanyahu reportedly responded that he believed Hamas intended to operate in the West Bank and assured the Emirati leader that Israel was prepared for any scenario. So, yeah, I mean, how many levels, like, do you want to go down this? I mean, Israel created Hamas. Okay, they funded Hamas with millions of dollars in cash every month right up until October 7th. Egypt warned Israel about October 7th. The UAE warned Israel about October 7th. Israel themselves were aware the October 7th attack was happening. They did a stand down order on October 7th that was testified to by the soldiers who said they were confused because they'd never been told to not patrol the border. But in this case, they were, just so happened to be the day the attack happened. They moved the Nova Festival 3 days before it was supposed to happen, from a location that was not attacked to a location that was, a location directly in between the two military bases that were the actual targets for the Hamas invaders. They wanted to come in. They wanted to attack these two military bases. The Israeli government, 3 days before, plants the Nova Festival right in between them. It would be suspicious already. It's even more suspicious the fact that the Nova Festival was a free Gaza, free Palestine, peace, organized event. So you think the leaders of Israel had a lot of good feelings about them? You think they felt like they were people that needed to be protected and consoled? Or do you think this actually turned out to be an extremely convenient way to kill a bunch of people that were for peace and then blame it on Hamas, even though they instituted the Hannibal Directive and murdered their own people at the festival? It's just, that's just off the top. I haven't even like really thought about this that much. It's just off the top of my head. It's orchestrated. It was on purpose. It was designed this way by Israel, who killed their own people on purpose to blame Hamas, to go to war with Gaza, to eradicate Gaza, to inspire outrage from other Middle East actors, to eventually get to war with Iran. Like, this is all obvious. This is also absurdly obvious. Let's go down to clip 48. This is from Ethan Levins. Israel killed their own citizens on October 7th. Never forget. Here's the footage of them doing it.
The Israelis later release footage of dozens of strikes. On Israeli television, pilots admit it was difficult to distinguish gunmen from Israeli civilians.
זו שאלה טובה, וזו דילמה סופר מורכבת.
אני רוצה להיכנס לעוד אחד ישירה.
כל ההחלטה עכשיו...
עליי.
יהיה לך. אין לי מי לדבר.
כן, אין לי מי לדבר.
Without guidance, pilots say they join local WhatsApp groups to identify targets.
The idea that pilots have to get information from WhatsApp groups is truly remarkable. It's a sign of the initiative that people are looking for any way that they can get the information. And at the same time, this is an outrage. I mean, what kind of a way is that to fight a modern war?
The Israeli newspaper Yediot Aharonot says that at midday, the army issues a version of what is known as the Hannibal Directive.
נועל חניבל הוא נועל בלתי פורמלי, אשר אומרת, אוקיי, עדיף לנו שהחייל יארג ושלא יתפס חי.
The Hannibal Directive is the result of previous humiliations where Israel handed over hundreds of Palestinian prisoners in return for the release of one Israeli soldier.
להיתה הבנה שהתוצאה היותר טובה של תקרית כזאת זה חייל הרוג ולא חייל בשבי.
On October 7, it seems the Hannibal Directive may have been revived and applied even to civilian hostages.
The Air Force operated during those hours under an instruction to prevent movement from Gaza into Israel and return from Israel into Gaza. 70 vehicles were hit. At least in some of the cases, everyone in the vehicle was killed.
The Israeli military does not deny the report.
So, I mean, you know, go to clip 57 here. This is a Lebanese reporter who was broadcasting while covering an Israeli strike in Nabatea. So this must have been the hospital they flattened. Clip 57 here. This is a Lebanese reporter getting the Israeli treatment. Let's watch. Terrifying stuff. Saw people commenting saying, yeah, it turns out he was too close to the target. No, he was the target. No, Israel bombs journalists. Israel bombs journalists. Israel bombs their own people. Israel bombs hospitals. They bomb healthcare workers. They bomb ambulances. They bomb children in their homes. This is what they do all the time, endlessly, because nobody stops them. There's a account on X called Parody Jeff. That was an extremely good source of videos about this stuff. He's been banned. According to Grok, Grok was asked, why was Parody Jeff banned from X? The Parody Jeff account was suspended on X after interacting with Grok in a way that prompted the AI to state that Israel is in fact committing genocide. Accounts are being destroyed for simply saying what they think. The goal is to intimidate us into silence. They nuked this account, so I've had to start again. Please follow my new account. We need to rebuild these accounts, and we need your help right now, so you can follow at Rabbi Jeff X. And they ban this account for, because it got Grok to admit that, yes, this does in fact rise to genocide. Of course, there might also be another aspect of this. Elon Musk is apparently slated to receive 15 to 20% of the land in Gaza. So apparently Elon Musk will be benefiting from the genocide that took place. So maybe he's got a personal reason to hide the reality of how he is going to obtain this stuff. Kind of horrifying, but not exactly unexpected. And this to me is the absolutely craziest part of all of this. Is the obtuseness of Americans. I don't really know how to explain it. Like, this is not hard to figure out, and they're not even being subtle with it. We're going to go now to clip 51. This is Byron Donalds, who beat out James Fishback and is now a candidate, Republican candidate for governor of Florida. And not exaggerating, not misrepresenting this, he is now, like many supposed quote-unquote Christians in America, are now pushing a version of Christianity that literally swaps out Israel for Jesus. The things that the gospel says about Jesus, they literally take the name Jesus out and put the word Israel in and are saying that this is their form of Christianity. Let's go to clip 51. This is Byron Donalds, Donalds on the 1st of September this year, saying how a Christian is supposed to reach eternal life. Let's watch.
And there is no pathway to the promises of God without first respecting and understanding God's covenant with Israel.
Okay. The actual quote from the Bible is something like, there is no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. So they literally, I mean, when he says, there is no pathway to the promises of God without first respecting and understanding God's covenant with Israel. The biblical stance is there's no pathway to the promises of God without first respecting and understanding Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They have replaced Jesus Christ with the modern nation state of Israel, and they are literally worshiping Israel and have convinced their Christian followers that subjugation to a hostile foreign state and a foreign religion that is contradictory to your own is somehow the best expression of your religion. It is mind-blowing. This is why I'm just like, every Christian should recognize this immediately. Immediately. I mean, what the, like, if Byron Donalds came out and said, Bibi Netanyahu is the manifest son of God, would you recognize it then? Would that outrage you? Probably not. They'd probably agree. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through subjugation to Israel, right? Except through slavish devotion to the genocidal state of Israel. I'm pretty sure that was the original. So, I mean, I don't know how you can see this for anything other than what it is, just total abject blasphemy, but it's a deep-seated thing in this country. Let's go to clip 58 here. This is a documentary about evangelicals who send all of their money to Israel. Remember the term that we were exploring last week? Willing slaves. Let's take a look at the most pathetic, despicable, willing slaves of this hostile group of genocidal psychopaths. Let's watch.
This is where, with the kids, where we start our indoctrination. I know that's a strong word to use, indoctrination, that it, you know, it gets such a bad reputation, but that's where it starts. That's where it started with me when I was a child, that I was taught about the support that the church owes to Israel.
So all your loose change that you have from home, you bring that change to school. Everything that we get, we will actually cash it in and make a check out to the Fellowship for Christians and Jews. And so far, you guys are doing a good job.
Now, this mindset is not just infecting crazy Christian Zionists out there. It's now being pushed officially by our government as we work to make Judaism the theocracy that rules over us. Let's go to clip 56 here. This is a little girl who can't be more than, you know, fourth grade talking about a song that they're having her sing in public school in America, 2026. Let's watch.
Guys, just stay for one second. My school is making me sing an Israeli song. I'm in AP chorus, right? I took a test. Somehow I got in. I literally just took it to be in there with my friends, and I got in. All my friends got in. You know, amazing at first, right? And then I'm listening to the song, and I'm like, oh, this is in a new language. That's pretty cool. Sorry, my light just died. They don't let us take the sheet music home to study it, so I looked it up online, the name of the song that we are singing. The song that we are singing is called Bashana Haba. It's quite a song, but I really don't want to sing it because it's Israeli. I know it's olden days Israel, but, like, it's Israel. And they've been, like, forcing religion on us in our school, a public school that's supposed to have no religion. This is what is so normalized, and it's actually wild that they think that we don't know about, like, the Israel and Palestine stuff going on. Are we serious? I have reason to be frustrated about this because it doesn't matter what time the song came out. It's still from Israel. And it's in the language that they speak, which I am very frustrated about because of the stuff going on with Israel and Palestine. So let me know in the comments if I'm valid for being frustrated about this and if I should let my teacher know about it and kind of reach, start a petition or something. I don't know. Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
So apparently kids in high school, public high school in America, are being taught to sing Hebrew-Israeli worship songs. She says they're forcing the religion on us. Well, the modern religion of Holocaustianity is required by every public school in the country. You have to take Holocaust classes. But hey, they're also building mosques inside the public high schools in Dallas, because nobody else believes in separation of church and state. Nobody else demands separation of church and state. They want separation of your church and state while their religion dominates and is imposed from on high. I say we reject it all.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. consolidation, vertical integration. That is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll go directly out to your phone calls. I just got to cover this story. LG TV flaws could let attackers listen in even in standby mode. Smart TVs are internet-connected computers with microphones, app stores, advertising systems, and access to the same home networks used by your family's phones, laptops, printers, and smart home devices. ACR technology samples what appears on or is heard through a TV. This is automated content recognition that smart TVs collect on you. It creates a digital fingerprint, compares that fingerprint against a reference database. It can be used to identify programs, ads, and viewing habits. Now, a new investigation by Gamers Nexus, carried out with Level 1 techs and independent security researchers, have examined several LG TV models. The team says it found extensive device and network discovery, ACR tracking, and security weaknesses that could increase the consequences if the televisions were compromised. Stories at malwarebytes.com. To sum it up, it's this. Here's what the TV does by design. Scans your entire home network continuously. In their test, one TV identified 36 unrelated devices, including phones, smartwatches, printers, and thermostats belonging to people not involved in the test. Collects the names and signal strengths of every nearby Wi-Fi network, plus location data. All of this is sent to LG Ad Solutions. It runs automatic content recognition on everything displayed on screen, including HDMI inputs. Your laptop, gaming console, or work monitor connected to the TV is being fingerprinted. One TV exchanged roughly 4 gigabytes of ACR-related data per month. What the TV does that LG says it doesn't, LG publicly stated their TVs, quote, do not collect, record, or store ambient conversations. However, Gamers Nexus found the TV converts speech to plain text and stores it on-device logs. It's literally monitoring you, taking a transcript of what you say and saving it as a text file on the TV, even when the TV is off, so that, and even if it's not connected to the internet, it saves it internally so that next time it's connected to the internet, it sends all of that back to the company. The TV records room audio while the screen appeared off and the Ethernet cable was unplugged, then exfiltrated the file the moment it reconnected. The microphone window stays open 10 to 15 seconds after talking stops, capturing bystanders who never address the TV. The security vulnerabilities on top of this is that beyond the designed behavior, researchers found remote code execution vulnerabilities in WebOS that could allow a compromised TV to be weaponized as a covert listening device. These sets are in hospitals, waiting rooms, boardrooms, hotels. A surgeon asked Gamers Nexus where that leaves patient confidentiality. Gamers Nexus has no answer, neither does LG. I assume and I hope that there's going to be some sort of major class action lawsuit over this. It basically just says you got to disconnect your TV, and that's the only thing you can really do, and disable the built-in microphone in the settings. But basically, if anybody can access your TV, they have a persistent real-time monitoring device in your home. And I would imagine that would include cameras for those TVs that have cameras. So again, you just have to ask, like, who goes through the effort of putting this stuff in? Who at LG was like, you know, we're making a TV. What we could do is set up all of these systems to be capturing all of this audio, capturing all of the imagery, saving it to a text file. We can have a protocol to where even if it's not connected to the Ethernet, it'll be saved on the device until it is connected to the Ethernet. Then it'll share it all with our servers here at LG. It's not even a item that you pay a subscription for. I could even understand it to a better degree if it was like an Alexa device or a Google Home device where it's like you're paying a subscription to use this internet connected device. But when you buy a TV, you don't expect it to be sharing any information with the TV company. Why would the TV manufacturer who you bought your TV from require access to your private communications? Why would they go out of their way to build this in to the infrastructure of the software that the TVs run on? There is no reason that is not nefarious. There is no reason that is innocent. Why would it even have to send any information at all? Because they think they can exploit it. They think they can exploit you. Or because it's useful to the intelligence agencies to have a literal Orwell-style telescreen inside everybody's home. Completely outrageous. With that, we got to your calls. Let's go first to James in Indiana, who called in about Lindsey Clancy. Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got some homework for the crew. Anybody can go to a med checker. I want them to put in all of the pills that Fox was showing on TV that they gave her and see what the med checker shows for all the interactions. I mean, why do you think you have nearly 40-something veterans a day committing suicide? There needs to be congressional hearings over these pharmaceutical companies that want to give out pills that cause homicide and suicide. It's disgusting.
I mean, that sounds like something that the government maybe can get to once it deals with the more important things, like removing the rule that allows that disallows private equity to directly bribe our senators and congressmen. I mean, they've got more important things to do than deal with the crippling mental illness epidemic that is destroying this country. And yes, causing literally dozens, or if not hundreds, of veterans a day to commit suicide. I'm being facetious because I don't know how else to deal with this, James. Like, you're obviously right. One of just any number of, like, civilization-ending problems that would not be that hard to deal with if we felt like it. Instead, our government is obsessed with doing a billion things that only hurt us. They're never going to get around to actually making sure the medicine that insane people are prescribed does what it says. I mean, what do we do about this, James?
Crazy. I have a severe stomach disorder from the Air Force, and I take Imodium like candy. And there's new warnings on Imodium that cause impairment, over-the-counter stuff. I mean, that's how bad these pharmaceutical drugs are getting. You might take a drug for one thing and get 10 other freaking problems. I mean, that's how disgusting the pharmaceutical... I mean, they are legalized, incompetent drug dealers. That's what I call them.
Yep. Yep. 100%. 100%. And again, I just can't help but notice that in this trial, which should ostensibly be all about these medicines and what they do to people and how they do not solve problems and could make it a lot worse, instead, it's become this retarded circus about insane women who probably themselves are all on the very SSRIs that the rest of us would like to eradicate from our society. Now, it's yeah, just another thing that is beyond insane that any of this is allowed to happen. And yet, you ask most people, it is completely normalized. They think you're weird for even thinking it's strange that half of the women in this country are on some mood-altering hormone pill. I mean, it's just crazy. Thank you for the call, James. Let's go to Sean in California now. Sean, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, I haven't talked to you for a while because when you say new callers, I listen. Same for
I appreciate that.
I honor it, man. But for today's adventures, and I apologize, I'm fighting a little bug here. First, I'm going to bring up something. It relates kind of to the TV thing. You know, when we say the devil's in the details, I want to bring us a small win. You may or may not have gotten to see it. And this was recent as of September 8th, 2026. So this is just this week. The American Bar Association eliminated its diversity, equity, and inclusion accreditation standard for law schools after sustained pressure from the Trump administration. So, yay, we got to win in the culture war.
Yay.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't it crazy that we were even admitting loonies to the bar in the first place and making a quota for that?
Yep. No, well, that's the thing. Half of the headlines are just insane nonsense that nobody wants, but obviously is the priority for the people in charge, like letting private equity bribe congressmen. Like, that's what they're focused on. Any good headlines we have are just that one of those, like, policies is being reversed, right? So either you get bad headlines about new inexplicable and retarded policies, or it's some headline that's like, hey, great news. We're just no longer doing something utterly ridiculous that never should have happened in the first place. So it's like, yay, yay. We're not letting in unqualified lawyers and actually letting them practice law because of the color of their skin. Amazing. You know, it's like, no, what the hell are we doing? Okay, great. Yeah, that's great. I'm so happy about that. Sean, wonderful.
This is the bigger thing, though, Harrison, is that's kind of, you know, the diversion thing. We've had this theme throughout your show and throughout the week, many times I wanted to call in, where we're discussing this little sliver of land in the Middle East that causes us so much trouble. And the people who are running it, they were causing us issues going all the way back to the founding of the Republic. There was this fellow, Haim Salomon. Now, he escaped a pogrom, I believe it was in Poland, and he came over, and with Robert Morris, he actually helped raise funds for the Continental Congress. But he did this by going to the Sassoons and the Rothschilds. And the problem is, with those particular families, it seems that they want you to be in perpetual debt, you know, to always owe credit to them, much like what they did to the British and French banks. And their agent, Alexander Levine, excuse me, Hamilton, he decided to go ahead and advocate for them. Didn't work out well for him with Aaron Burr, but in the long run, they've been trying to make America be a debtor colony for them since our founding. And so we, if we're sovereign, we cannot be a debtor. Whoever has credit is a master. Whoever has debt is a slave. So we as an American people, what is our biggest debt-creating item? The founders saw it as a standing army. Are the American people willing to really pull out of the Middle East? And if so, cynically thinking, is this Iran situation an excuse to pull out of the Middle East and NATO and things like that? Or is it just such a cluster we're going to have to do it now because we're economically screwed and waiting for China and the bankers to come in and carve us up? What do you think, Harrison? Am I kind of giving us a historical perspective on, you know, both sides of this argument here?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And look, there's nothing new about what's going on here. They're just getting better at it, I guess you could say. And yeah, look, since 1913 and the institution of the Federal Reserve, I mean, that was almost game over, basically, at that point. We've just been living out the post-game, you know, degradation ever since. So, I mean, we literally handed our sovereign right to print money over to a bunch of private bankers. Like, it's the most insane thing ever. So, without our permission, without our consent, they are just devaluing our money continuously and have ever since it got started. So, it is just outright unadulterated theft. It's just pure and simple. It's theft, and it's done through printing this money that the Constitution explicitly reserves the right to do that to Congress. We gave it to the Federal Reserve, which is not federal and has no reserves. It is a private banking consortium run by the very same people that took over the, you know, British pound following the Battle of Waterloo. Yeah, it's literally been centuries of this, dealing with this. And anybody who notices also happens to receive a, you know, assassin's bullet throughout history. So we could get into Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln and everybody in between. This is a persistent theme in American and European history for the last several decades. Thank you, as always, Sean, for the call. Let's go to Bart in Georgia now. Bart called in about the Civil War. Go ahead, Bart. You're on the air.
Yes, yeah, so I want to talk about civil war, which is going to be absolutely necessary if we want to repel these male invaders. And what we need, obviously the government is never going to help us. They're the ones doing this to us. We need, I got a solution for it, and this proves they don't want to help us. If we had landmines, a DMC like they do in between the Koreas, and just kill anything that comes in on that land and put up signs in Spanish telling them you will be killed if you come across here, we wouldn't even need a wall. Just put landmines on both borders and kill anybody that comes across. But we're going to – unfortunately, violence is going to be necessary at some point. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. The plans they have for us are not going to be stood for, I guess is one way to put it. Again, I mentioned earlier in the show about talking to my friend and basically saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure our kids are going to have to, like, fight in a war. But not like they're going to be sent to war because they joined the army. But, like, either we're going to sit here and take it as our country is just systematically whittled away and stolen from us, or at some point we're going to have to stand up, and when we stand up, they're going to try to crush us, and it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a real big fight. So let's go to clip number 15 here, because this is what it's like in the Ukraine right now. This is what they're going to try to do in Europe. This is what they're going to try to do here in America. And this is why we have guns in America. Clip 15 was posted by a woman who said, this is how I'm seeing my husband off to war. Lord, save him and keep him safe. The woman cries, pointing at a bus full of packed with forcibly mobilized men. As you can see, every one of them is in handcuffs. Let's watch. So their plan for European men is to literally arrest, like, and these buses, there are more pictures from this post, and you see buses full of, like, middle-aged Ukrainian men sitting in handcuffs being sent to the front line. They didn't do anything wrong. These guys are not convicted of a crime. These guys are not arrested for anything. These are regular people, law-abiding citizens. They pay their taxes. They go to work. And one day, a group of men shows up to throw them in a van, handcuff them to that van, send the van to the front line where they're murdered by Russia for the sake of their utterly outrageously corrupt, by the way, Zionist Jewish President Zelensky, whose entire cabinet at this point has basically fled to Israel after being caught stealing all of the money that we sent to perpetuate all of this. So they're going to do this in Germany. They're going to do this in the UK. They are telling you they're going to do it. There's no reason why they wouldn't. In America, it's not going to be that easy for them, but they're sure as hell going to try. This is the democracy that we're supposed to be, you know, going to war over. If you think that they can do it to Ukraine and not anywhere else, I want to know what you're smoking. They will kidnap men who are walking their children to school. Now, if you arrest an illegal immigrant murderer with his son, it becomes a national story here in America, even though it's literally what happens to every criminal when they're caught. Yes, they get separated from their children. These men are not criminals. That's the difference, which is why you'll never hear about it, because they want this to happen. They want to normalize it. And like at a certain point, like you just have to understand that waiting around to be picked up by the squad is not going to cut it. And just trying to fist fight the squad once they try to grab you, it's not going to cut it either. At a certain point, you need to look forward and you need to go, I'm not waiting until the squad comes. I'm going to take proactive measures against this, or I'm going to go hole up somewhere and just, they may get me, but I'm going to take 10 of them out before they do. And that's up to us to recognize what's happening, recognize the patterns around us, recognizing the war that we're in, and then not waiting and watching while systematically we're all murdered. Like the dodo bird. The only thing that white people need to do is just not be dodo birds. Just don't be idiots who are incapable of dealing with predators. as we've discussed, the dodo bird went extinct because they would sit there on a nest of eggs and they would watch while a human being walked up, plucked up their neighbor, twisted its neck, took its eggs and walked off. And the dodo bird would sit there going, well, that was crazy. Well, that was very weird. I liked that guy and now he's dead. Wow, what a crazy thing to have happened. But they don't fly away and they don't fight back. They just sit there and they wait and they watch the human being approaching. And they sit there and they go, oh, he's grabbing my neck. That feels kind of weird. And then they're dead and that's it. And it's like, that's what Americans are going through right now. And it really should remind you of nothing more than the Gulag Archipelago. And the way he described the individual kidnappings that would take place. But if you weren't targeted, then you just stayed quiet. And eventually, you would be targeted. And everybody else would stay quiet. So at a certain point, we have to decide how much we love liberty. And whether we're human beings capable of projecting into the future, seeing an outcome, and then working to alter that outcome. Busification, the term describing being captured on the street. So like I said, I don't think that's going to come here to America, but they're sure as hell going to try. And by the way, the Supreme Court is about to hear arguments about AR-15s and whether those should be banned. I've said it before, I'll say it again. That's over. It's just never going to happen. Everybody sees now, from COVID-19 to what they support in Israel to what they're supporting in Ukraine, I don't know any American gun owner that would comply with an anti-gun law at this point. Out of my cold, dead hands needs to be kind of our mindset from here on out. Let's go now to Matt in Pennsylvania on line 5. Go ahead, Matt, you're on the air.
Yo. So two things, actually. First one, I don't know if you've seen that Jerusalem Post bit about possibly knocking out all of your debt if you volunteer to go invade Iran. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have.
But the second one was our old friend General Flynn this morning talking about you young men, you just need to get back to working in the dirt. Well, General Flynn, unfortunately, now I'm 37, you're a little bit younger than me. You and I were already established, but a lot of these young kids, they can't seem to get established because you shut every single door in their faces. So expecting them to just take some $10 an hour job and, you know, take up with some twice divorced mother of three just for the good of your ledger, not going to cut it. And any young man listening, please, oh, please, oh, please. Do not join the military. Do not listen to these old fools because all they want is to just keep Social Security going a little bit longer because a certain country has promised them, we're going to have it for you. Don't worry. They're going to have to pay.
Yep. 100%. And I notice all these successful people that are defeating us in certain areas. They never tell their young people to go dig in the dirt. You never hear lefties extol the virtue of a minimum wage job, you know, the whiling away while everybody else seems to receive government subsidies or just massive, you know, benefits. I mean, the amount of money that is poured into leftist causes, every single right-wing young man in America should have a job with some sort of right-wing cause. But we don't do that. You know, we don't do that. You know, earlier this year, $1.4 billion was set aside just to reward or to make in some way make it right for all of the people that were persecuted after January 6th. It was the Republicans that stepped in and said no. They said, we don't want to do that. We do not want to give money to our own people and our own voters. That would be fiscally irresponsible. We need that $1.4. It funds 6 hours of the Iran war. So you're exactly right, and I have absolutely nothing to add. Thank you, Matt and PA. Brilliant stuff. Let's go now to Mike in Texas. You're on the air, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. I really enjoyed your show today, especially the first 2 hours. Topic that needs more attention, I believe. As someone who used to study federal law, tax law, civil rights law, you know, one of the things that will trip you up quickly is a definition. And you come across a word in a law like state, and you think you know what that means, but you know, if you take the trouble to go look for the definition, well, The term state includes the District of Columbia and Guam and a couple other places. You think, well, that's kind of odd. They didn't mention, you know, Montana or you know, Florida. So you realize that they've got a weird definition here, and actually they're talking about a federal state, which is a peculiar item that it's the territories that are under the exclusive jurisdiction of the federal government. But what I'm getting at is we need to stop just taking it for granted that we understand what the term Jew means, J-E-W. You know, is that a religion? Is it an ethnicity? Is it a cult? All of the above? None of the above? What do you mean? You say you're Jewish, okay? And I used to get into some nasty discussions with some other surgeons on staff, and it cost me all kinds of headaches. Almost lost the job over it. But you know, you got to pin these people down, and you know, not assume you know the words that they're throwing at you. Make them define them. You know, get some clarity in the discussion before you move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish we had more time with you, Mike. You sound like you have some very interesting things to say. I'd love to have you back on sometime. I hope you call in next time. Mike from Texas, I'll remember that name and go to you next time because we are running out of time here at the end of the show. But you're exactly right. And certainly when it comes to if you're predicating military action on biblical interpretation, what the hell does that mean? I mean, was Noah a Jew? Was he an Israelite? Did they only come after Abraham? Or when did... I mean, it's... You might want to lock this down. Personally, I've had the conversation where I say, are you Jewish? Yes. Do you believe in God? No. There's my answer. I think it's a race. I think it's an ethnicity. The religion is there for other purposes. So I guess it depends on who you ask and when. It's one of those words. It's very useful, isn't it?
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.